listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
So get it how I live, waiting on my moment, screaming fuck how they feel, dodging jail cells and them pigs down to kill. They shot Oscar Grant, swear it gave a nigga chills. Let's keep it real, if you ain't looking in your eyes closed, will I pay what I owe? Only God knows. Ain't for sure, give me strength just to change what I can and understand the difference between a nigga and a king that I am. Gotta keep your finger on the trigger. Pac died, Biggie died, they ain't found the killers. Mama say she worried cause I rap about the government and how the church is caked up and people like it struggling. That's real though. I'm just saying, call it how I feel, folk. I just call it how it is, folk. I'm breathing for a reason, what they here for. They got us with the villains, all the who we cheer for, cause they murdered all the heroes. Hey, welcome to the Blackout Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen,
and we are live on a Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
For the smallest audience we've had in a while, because apparently Crowdcast's email function is working.
It's like, no, we're not sending out no.
So this is gonna be like the hidden episode of the Blackout Tips. Apparently,
I know. We might do something special. Who knows?
Who knows? But it's late at night. Ready to get into some feedback for you guys. You can find us theblackguywhotips@gmail.com. Leave us 5-star reviews on iTunes and Stitcher. We like to read those on the show. The official weapon of the show is
the taser,
and the unofficial sport
is bullet ball.
And bullet ball extreme. And today's podcast is brought to you by listeners like you. That's right. All the people that take the time out to listen to the show, leave us 5-star reviews, donate, all that stuff that you can do, email us, leave voice messages. This show is for you guys. And let's talk about the people that gave money.
I dedicate this song to recession, depression, and unemployment. This song's for you.
Today's a new day. New day and new money. Tyrone M, thank you for the recurring donation. Terry W, same to you. Lanika M, who is a brand new recurring donator.
Yeah, I was about to say, that sounds brand new.
Go ahead to the new members class. Jason F, thank you for the recurring donation. Damian R, appreciate you. Michael Irvin, the playmaker. Jasmine A, thank you. Waste Bees by Sura, appreciate you. Alexander M, thank you very much. Eric M, shout out, attitude check.
Bronco Pride,
come on. Dostry J, thank you. Jonathan W, thank you. Mary H, we appreciate you. Mary, how you doing?
Mm-hmm.
Rachel H, thank you so much. Rachel, let's see who else is on here. All right, it's deciding to take its time. Omot A, thank you, Omot. Stefan H, we appreciate you. Janine R, thank you so much, Janine.
Mm-hmm.
Deborah O, thank you. Renita N, thank you very much, Renita. We got a one-time donation from Idris G. Thank you, Idris.
Thank
we appreciate you.
You.
Jeff M, thank you so much, Jeffrey. Corey B, appreciate you, Corey.
Mm-hmm.
Andy S, thank you. And Mr. Span of the Span Report Podcast, thank you so much. Jonathan H, thank you. Quanita W, who is a brand new recurring donator.
Hey, sweetie.
Look at all this brand new recurring love we getting.
Come on through, y'all.
What y'all try to, y'all heard Small Business Saturday and said, let's help them out.
Thank you.
Golda S, thank you so much. Also a brand new recurring member. What is going on?
I know. Come on through.
Got a one-time donation from John M, who says, thank you, Rod and Karen, for making me a better person and giving me so much to laugh and think about. Thank you.
Thank you.
Got a one-time donation from India L, who says, hi, Creflo and Taffy. Rod and Karen, just wanted to show support. Thanks.
Thank you.
Well, you can sign up for our Sunday school edition of the show for just $29.99. Nicole F, thank you, Nicole.
Mm-hmm.
KM, thank you so much. Marvin B, yes, Marvin B. Early days of photography, thank you. Jay Fool, the homie, appreciate you.
Yes.
Good luck out there in the dating game. Carlton H, thank you very much, Carlton. Michael W is a brand new recurring donator. Thank you very much, Michael.
Hey, baby.
What is going on this week? Chriselle, everybody know Chriselle. What's going on, Chriselle? Thank you.
Hey, baby.
Asia D, appreciate you. Justin J, thank you. Nerds and Luxury, those luxurious nerds, appreciate you. Candace H, thank you. Solana S, thank you. K KDG, were we off for extra week? Where are all these people coming from?
I don't know, but
Yvonne the, M.
But I'm not gonna say nothing against my blessings. I thank y'all.
And Adam S. That's everybody. Thank you so much,
thank
guys.
Thank you.
Look in the mirror. Always remember.
So much better when you smile.
All right, let's get into our 5-star reviews. Okay. We got quite a few, actually.
Yay!
That's right. So on iTunes, we got a bunch. All hail G. Great podcast. 5 stars, they say. I finally remember the password to my iTunes account on a Mac I haven't used in 2 years. On a day that I should be writing my 6-page paper and on a Black Friday shopping that's how good this podcast is. Thank you.
Shout out to you for remembering that password.
They talk about everything. Yes, that too. From sports to politics to Karen and Rod's random thoughts. They work too hard for me to be lazy and not write this review. So go subscribe and become a premium member. When I was on a budget, I tried to cancel my premium membership and I did successfully for 5 seconds. And then just like crack, I had to get it again. Worth every overdraft fee. Oh my God. We were hoping y'all get overdraft fees, but thank you. Thank you so much. That's dedication.
Come on.
Great podcast by newbie 14, who says laugh out loud whether out and about or at home. Yeah, a lot of people wrote us about their like y'all trying to get me fired this week. Yeah, we got a lot of those tweets and Facebooks. Welcome to the cookout, y'all. 5 stars by GoldieGold78, who says, I always look forward to the show. Rod and Karen, you keep me informed and entertained. It's about time I leave this 5 stars and say thank you, Golda S.
Thank you,
Golda. Nolan875 says, hands down the best 5 stars. Rod and Karen, keep me laughing, thinking, and learning. This is my favorite podcast. Thank you.
Thank you.
Been gone for a minute now. I'm back with the 5 stars, says Scott Dre, who says, yo, that Bullet Ball Explain episode was hilarious. I was in tears thinking about those Islanders singing Nuck If You Buck. Wishing you guys a happy holiday. Keep the fire coming, Dre. Thank you.
Thank you, baby.
Yeah, that's funny that it was all on the fly, because I was literally queuing up the song with, I think Miss Smart or somebody in the chat said it, and then it was like, I just literally hit play right as we were reading that comment. Best down to earth couple, Tiffany J says, I've been listening to this podcast since 2015 and I love it. Great people. And if you have long commutes, please subscribe. Yeah, we get a lot of long commuters up in here, man. You know, we got
y'all send a lot of traffic
and we do a lot of episodes. So, you know, you never have to let your mind be bored.
It's probably calm you down from cussing people out. You're laughing too hard.
The podcast everyone should be listening to, 5 stars by Poor Recent Grad. Rod and Karen offer wonderful commentary on pop culture, social issues, and the overall debauchery of our world. Discovering this podcast was one of the highlights of my year. Karen is hilarious. Rod's voices take me out. Stop what you are doing and join the winning team.
That's what I'm saying.
Drop them zero podcasts and get with a hero podcast.
Come on, heroes.
Okay, we just out here trying to help y'all out. We also got some on Stitcher. James R says 5 stars. It says James R, not related. Okay. I will not be shamed any longer. Great podcast. Somehow I'm listening to reviews and recaps of TV shows I don't even watch. Love you both. Keep doing great things. And thank you for putting out such an excellent show. Thank you.
Thank you. You ain't got to be shamed no more. Fold your arms and shame everybody else. That's what happens when you leave your stars. You can shame. You can look at everybody else.
Carry around your shaming stick and get to wagging it.
Come on. Get the point of that, people.
That guy in Kenya leaves a 5-star review 4 days ago on Stitcher. A great lens to view the chaos. Thank you. That's poignant. I like that.
Come on. Straight to the point.
The Black Autist is hilarious. Honest reflection of the society we live in today. Rod and Karen artfully weave together the news and facts with their thoughts, anecdotes, and jokes, as well as hit you with some hard truths that a majority are not willing to face. Rod and Karen have given me and many who listen to their podcast countless hours of laughter, spectacular insight, and the space that affirms the feeling that we're not crazy. People actually believe this trash, and it is trash to think like this. You will not regret a listen. thank you.
Thank you, baby.
From Kenya. I appreciate it. You know, we trying to get our diaspora on, you know what I'm saying?
Come on.
Trying to spread the word. JCMGA says, 5 stars, love the show. I laughed so hard at the Zelda segment. It made my whole week 300% better. Thank you.
Thank you.
Lanny says, 5 stars, so good. I love this show. And after that bullet ball episode this week and 2 years of consistent free Loamia, I hope I pronounced that right, after freeloading, I'ma donate after this. Okay, it's auto check, gotcha. I could not continue putting off writing my 5-star review. This show brings out the humor in the darkest topics, but Rod and Karen never shy away from sharing their commentary on serious issues too. It was no surprise in this episode, classic Christmas carols, that TBGWT ranked higher than some of the other black podcasts. One of the named shows TBGWT beat, had jumped the shark a long time ago because they make it abundantly clear that they don't like what they do and often ignore important issues that their young demographic really need to be aware of. Ooh, shade. I don't know who it's about, but I was cool with everybody on listening. No, these are not our words, I'm just reading the review. Listening to this podcast, you will fall in love with Ryder Karen's slightly dark humor and Karen's adorable puns. Great show. Thank you.
I'm trying to do better on my pun game, y'all.
Yeah, you are doing better. You know, I think you've been doing good. You stepped it up.
See, that's what happened when y'all encouraged me.
Well, I feel like trying is like 90% of the thing. Like, it's not like puns, just if you make a good pun, people groan and laugh anyway.
Yeah, they do.
Make a bad one, they just groan, right? It's not really that big of a difference.
And they laugh too because it's so bad. Either way, you're gonna get laugh.
Yeah. We have no new reviews for spoiled movie reviews that I see, and I haven't checked it on give me 1 second, I'll check it Stitcher.
Okay, Stitcher. Okay,
I checked iTunes already. So let me just double check real quick. Won't take but a second, guys. But yeah, we appreciate people that leave the 5-star reviews because it really makes it worthwhile doing the show, and it really helps spread the word more than you know. It doesn't cost anything but some time and a little bit of Wi-Fi or whatever you use to get on the internet. It could be the difference between somebody deciding to listen to our show or not. So, all right, let's get into our website, because I didn't see no more 5-star reviews. Let's get to our website, theblackguywhotips.com. We have episodes that we put up every episode. You can leave comments, you can vote in the polls, things of this nature. This week being no exception. Episode 1795 was our feedback episode, called Damn Gina. We talked about Gina Rodriguez and her commentary and it was bigger than Gina Rodriguez, because I don't know her, so I would know, you know. And I said it several times during the episode that I'm not defending her because I don't fucking know her, but I do wonder about the way that people try to deconstruct arguments and if it's consistent, because I think consistency is key here, and is more key to me than whether or not Gina Rodriguez has issues with blackness and race and shit, because just from the little bit that I've seen of her, she seems to in these situations have some issues or some lack of understanding from a black perspective, which, you know, obviously everybody can't have a black perspective, but she seems to kind of not get it from our perspective, which whatever, that's not as, but I want to know why people accept these arguments sometimes and don't others, and I think it matters. Anne writes in about the discussion of Gina Rodriguez and her comment about pay gaps. Gina is not a white presenting Latina. She is brown skinned, black haired woman who would previously pass more for a Native American than white. Well, probably pass, I'm sorry, more for Native American than white. Which a point about the fact that more white presenting Hispanics and Latinos are treated differently is correct. Just look at Tom Brady's wife. She's blonde, light skinned Latina who is one of the highest paid models. Yeah, you know, as with all this shit, a lot of it is kind of subjective and not really written in stone. I don't know that Gina Rodriguez is white presenting, which is why I don't think I said she was. I was like, but I can understand the people if that's what it is. But there's a such thing like on the colorism scale, even within in almost every race, but we're talking specifically about the Latinos or whatnot. There are white Latinos and non-white Latinos. It doesn't mean they're white passing. Mm-mm. It doesn't necessarily mean they're white presenting, but it does mean that, like, there's a colorism privilege within the spectrum there. And she is a lighter skin. Like, I know she's brown compared to, like, white people, but white people, and this goes for black people too. I said this in the show, but when you look at the actresses that are black who are the it girls in Hollywood, the vast majority of them are light skinned or biracial actresses. Now, I'm not knocking their blackness, but white people get to be the ones who make these decisions, and they pick a particular looking type of woman most of the time. Doesn't mean they're not woke. I mean, shit. Tracee Ellis Ross is woke. Amanda Stenberg is woke. Like, Yara Shahidi is woke, but they're also of a certain look and appeal. It's not surprising to me when folks fall a little bit short of the, like, radical type of thinking that people would want these actors to have, specifically in the case of Gina Rodriguez, which she said something that I feel like, first of all, I don't feel like her comments particularly were offensive, and they definitely weren't specifically offensive to black women. I think they may not have been on point, but they weren't. I think it was a stretch to call those comments offensive. I think she just has a track record, and so everything she says is bad to a lot of people. Correct. But the thing I noticed though is she said something that I think a lot of black people can identify with, but because she's persona non grata, we don't want to admit it. We have been taught to be grateful.
Right.
A lot of us have, and I'm not saying that's a good thing, but there's a lot of us who have been taught to appreciate things, and I'm a person that appreciates things, but you've been taught to appreciate things to a point where you may not get or be an advocate for yourself and the things you deserve in a lot of cases because you've been told to feel fortunate to even get in the door. Like, oh, you're rich, that should be good enough. There's a lot, you know, you're not broke, you're not poor, you're not dead, you're not in prison. Why are you rocking the boat and asking these white folks why they're not paying you equal to a white man when really you should just be happy you're making more than any other brown person you know? And I do understand the struggle of being like, it's hard for me to stay in a militant mind frame because I wasn't raised in a militant mind frame of you walk in that door, you get what you earn, you look them in the eye, you tell them. A lot of us were told you got to work twice as hard to get half as much, and that's a good job. You know, oh, you got a good government job, you know, that type of shit, where, you know, don't, hey, if you can just do your dream on the side, you made it. You know, these are the things we were taught. And so I can understand her not really needing to be the person that speaks on these panels, or feeling like the reason I keep tripping over myself is because I've been told that to just be grateful. That being said, I still think she probably does have issues with race and black people, and specifically, you know, because this other thing she said that weren't this that I thought really did sound fucked up.
Right.
Like, I think she said something about wanting Latino people in Black Panther or something. And I was like, that's weird. Why would you even think that? You know what I mean? It's not like you look, like, do you look at Crazy Rich Asians and be like, where the black people? Like,
right. That makes no sense to me.
You know? So that's more weird to me than anything else. All right. Back to this. Coqui says, I've got to say that most of the comments I've seen about Gina have come from black Latinas, and I'm inclined to let them cook. They recognize racial microaggressions in their community as well as we do in ours, but the comment that irritated me in Gina's comments were because I can't help but feel already so gracious that to do what I do and feel like culturally I feel like I was raised to just feel so appreciative of getting here. To me, that is a direct slap at other communities being ungrateful at the very least. All right, Karen, did you take it that way?
No. And also, it goes back to what you were saying. Even black people, to an extent, have been taught just to be grateful. It's almost like, you better be glad we even gave you opportunity to walk your ass in the room. And you better not say nothing. You better not rock the boat. But I think that people that have been raised to be like, I deserve, I walked in the room, I've earned it. And everybody does not have that boldness within themselves. Like, everybody doesn't. Everybody doesn't have that pride within themselves. Some people get it as they get older, and some people never get it at all. So the fact that she said that, and she was actually talking about herself, not about, I don't think she was talking about other people in general, because there are, because you look, I treat it like sports. Whenever it comes to sports, particularly with football and basketball, whenever these dudes don't act thankful and grateful, everybody sees how the media and everybody responds to them. It's very visceral and negative. When they come out, I deserve, I own my ownership, me, you know, I am prideful and doing the same thing that white people do all the time. And we see the dog whistling and all that stuff that's at them, you know. And I kind of look at it like this, you know, she is brown. I don't think she's saying that she's not brown. And I think that she also acknowledges that she doesn't have the words, and sometimes people speak on things and they don't always have the words, and they're not always perfect in what they say. And sometimes I think people have a tendency to forget that, like just particularly on social media. I'm not talking to Koki, but just in general, people have a tendency to forget that everybody does not have all the woke words, all the right things to say all the time. And I think that this situation is different than I treat those other situations as almost separate. And we're talking about what she said on this situation. She was speaking from her particular perspective. And yes, Hollywood and most jobs and spaces that you're in, if you're the minority, they treat you and they act like you should just be thankful to be here. And if you don't, something's wrong with you. They act like you're the problem for rocking the boat, for just saying me being grateful just ain't enough. I want my pay, I want my money, I want my respect.
Yeah, and then there's the other part of this is, like, I'm not trying to be dismissive, but you know, this show is my opinion and Karen's opinion. You know, other people have their platforms to give their opinion. I'm not saying anybody's not valid. I'm not even saying, I hate that this has got into, like, whether or not Gina Rodriguez is racist or not. That part to me is so, I don't know, that part to me is the least of the worries. I just know that those comments that people are stretching, I think people are stretching these comments, particularly the I'm grateful thing, and particularly the pay gap thing, when she talks about, like, I'm reading a piece by an Afro-Latina woman written on Black Enterprise, who said, it's crazy to, I don't know how people can't feel like saying this kind of is bad to your opinions. And yes, I stretched before I reached on this one. I get the context of Rodriguez's comment, but at the end of the day, she had no right to use black women as a point of reference or comparison to communicate her feelings about diversity and equal pay in Hollywood, invalid or not. Well, to me, I'm like, it does matter.
Right.
You can't, and this is a Twitter thing that I really dislike, or social media thing. It's why I prefer talking about this shit on the podcast. People really will take the context out of something to find a way to be like, this what you really meant. I did not take it that she meant anything particular to black women in these comments. If anything, in that sentence, she brings up she brings up other women too, Asian women. Like, are Asian women okay to go in there and be like, don't compare us, don't you use Asian women for like, it's particularly only, people only saw this as an attack somehow on black women, and I just don't feel that that's what happened. I mean, I'd be lying to get on the microphone and be like, you know, I'm not gonna ever pander and be like, well, nah, nigga, that's what it was, that's what they said. It, they have not made that argument make sense to me, that it's, that this comment particularly is about attacking black women.
Right, and we talked about this before, and this is how I feel about the situation, is and people will not admit, we've actually read studies on this show talking about the pay grade, just with women in general, not actresses, women in general. And it is white women, black women, and then it kind of goes down.
Well, it's honestly, that's the other thing that bothered me. Even they could have just came at her for the fact she fucked the numbers up.
Right.
It's actually not white women, black women, Asian women. It's white women, Asian women, black women, Latinx women, or Latino women, I guess, or however you want to put it. And, right. And then indigenous women. on the, at least on the stats I saw. Now those stats aren't even of Hollywood.
Mm-mm.
So I don't even, I said when we started the point, I don't even know that her numbers are right, and I'd like to see the numbers because I don't think these numbers have been done. And I think she's just using the same numbers that people use for Oscar So White. Thing is, when these numbers were up there for Oscar So White, people basically were like, these numbers are the truth. And they've used those numbers to be like, these are the points we're trying to make as black women. We don't get paid enough. And everybody was like, yeah, that's proof. Then Gina Rodriguez tries to cite what I believe to be the same numbers, even though she flubbed them. And people went, you can't use those numbers. And I'm like, that doesn't make sense to me. That's like saying black women don't have a point because Kerry Washington is number 8 on the top 10 actresses list. That does not take away from the very valid point that black women are underpaid throughout the industry, whether there's an outlier or two or not. That doesn't, you know what I mean, change the point you're making. The fact that, you know, people were saying, well, Gina Rodriguez makes a lot of money. All the women that got to be on that stage are the top actresses in Hollywood. So even if it's Gabrielle Union, someone would be like, well, Gabrielle Union makes a lot of money. That's not the point. She's advocating for a group of people, you know? So I don't know. I feel like people, she just must have such a fucked up history that she could walk in and like repeat what everybody said and people would be like, nah, nigga.
Yeah. And also it's one of those things too, to where when these numbers were used for black women, it was rah, rah, rah. She's using these same statistics. And I think she's using these same statistics. And she was saying black people actually get paid more than us. And instead of black people being understanding to that and going, you know what? You right. Is we don't like her. And because we don't like her, everything she says fucked up. And then all jokes aside, it's like niggas is like, if we're not going after these white women, what is we attacking? And you can't be like that. There's subsections too. And you can be a black woman and still have privilege. There are women that are non-black that actually make more money than us, have harder struggles
that
than
are
America.
Non-black.
I mean, that are not that are non-black, but then they're not African American, like black. Oh, okay. I'm talking about black women.
Mm-hmm.
And so when she says this, she's going up the ladder, and because she's going up the ladder, black women felt attacked, and they go, "Well, I'm not a white woman." She didn't say you were white. All she was saying is based off of these numbers, black women make more money than we do, and I'm pointing this out. And instead of people acknowledging this, just like black women expect white women to acknowledge the fact that we go, y'all make more money than us, a lot of people turned around and lashed out back at her and attacked her. What's the difference between that and when black women call out white women and white women turn, look at their privilege, and instead of acknowledging it and going, you know what, girl, you're right, they lash back at us. We get mad and angry, right? We get upset, right? Because it's an injustice to that, because she's calling out something and everybody won't look at everything she said or what they thought she said and stretching the truth versus looking at the reality of what this woman's actually saying. And I think a lot of times the mouthpiece matters, and people will never admit it. Anybody else could have said the same thing she said, and people would have been like, hey girl, you right. But because she said and people don't like her anyway, people went fuck her on all accounts.
Yeah, it's just weird, because I think it's definitely some social media shit. Like, there are certain people that are persona non grata, and to be in the cool kids club, you have to join in. You don't get to think about it. You don't get to parse it. You don't get to see any other side of it. And I think she must just be a person that is, you know, like I said, having not kept up with her shit and just basically getting hip to it this week. It's like, okay, yeah, it sounds like she could have some issues with black women specifically. But this to me is like, this is like jumping on a pattern and fucking up your own case. It's like, cause you're trying to make everything count, and there's no need to make everything count. I think the Black Panther comments alone are enough for me to be like, oh nah, fuck her. You know? Like, that's enough for me. I don't need everything coming out of her mouth to be problems. This to me, it becomes a caricature of itself when you're like, yeah, she said this because she hates black women. It's like, but y'all said the same stats last year. Y'all said them. These are your numbers. She fucked up the Asian part, but the black women doing better than Latina part, that was in the studies that y'all used.
It was.
I saw those numbers, and now you're trying to make me think I'm crazy when I saw you use the numbers and then turn around and say she shouldn't have used those numbers. And you know, like I said, I don't know her like that, so maybe I keep saying that, going back to that, because maybe there's some context here that if I would have been following her all this time, I would have been like
aware of,
like I would have been like, yeah, well, even if it doesn't count, it counts, you know. But I'm not there with her, so I don't know. And it's like the Lena Dunham shit, where sometimes Lena Dunham does some fucked up shit, and it's like, I'm glad people are calling her out. And then some of her shit is like, she went to the beach today, and people are like, you fat ugly bitch. And it's like, well, that's against the values you claim to hold.
Come on.
So now what is it? Is it you can call her a fat ugly bitch and do all that shit and then in the guise of feminism, but then turn around and say like no one should judge you? Like, I just don't get the double standard. But anyway, I have no idea how much actresses of color make on the average, but I'm sick of other communities of color using Black Struggle as an example while still looking down their noses at us at the same time. Yeah, I didn't find that this particular comment was that. And for the record, we've talked about when it was that, like that time it was I think the New York Times, and someone wrote an editorial talking about how Latinx people do not complain like the Oscars so white people. Basically trying to say that while black people are busy complaining, we're busy building our own and shit. And to me, that's absolutely a shot at black people, and from another minority being like, another marginalized group using anti-blackness. And I think Gina Rodriguez has a couple of examples where I could see that.
Yeah.
But I just didn't find that last one to be that.
Yeah, and you know, there has been a history, so I'm not trying to erase that history or anything, but based off of the knowledge and the wisdom and what I know as of today, this is how I feel.
Yeah. Tiffany says, hey y'all, I let the week get away from me again. It didn't leave my comment after the episode. It was just last week that I had a discussion with my younger sister on why we as black women had to stop selling ourselves short when it comes to asking what we are worth. We both played collegiate ball, and my first job out of college was an assistant coach at a junior college, and I would offer 1 hour lessons to elementary, middle/high school students, and I charged $75 an hour per kid. The head coach charged $200 an hour, but only because she knew no one would pay that, and that way I could charge whatever and they would be apt to pay it, which I could appreciate. And this was back in 2003. My sister is currently working with a gym, and they told her that they would pay her $70 an hour for lessons, and she said cool. However, it was for 12 girls. She showed up and there are actually 18 girls there ready for the lesson. She called me and was frustrated because she got paid and they only pay her $35 for the hour lesson. Wow. And that's when she told me about the arrangement, and I told her, wait a minute, what is the facility charging them for these lessons? Keep in mind, this is not $70 per kid, it's $70 for the hour. She did some digging and found out the facility is charging these kids $1,500 for these sessions.
Oh no, you're gonna pay me. Don't waste my time.
I told her, when you call them about your pay, you tell them that because of the increase in girls and the cost of the motherfucking brick is going all the way up.
Right.
I told her not to take less than $150 for the hour, and they can't agree to a walk away because volleyball is looked at as a white girl sport, which it ain't. I told her, if you were a white girl, they would have no problem paying you. Hell, they walk they inexperienced, non-athletic, mediocre asses in the space and demand shit, and they give them that and more, and the time has come for us to stop selling ourselves short and get what's ours. I just had to get that out. Your discussion was right on time, and I'm so sick of that mediocrity being held as a standard of excellence, and we have to list all our accolades before we are even given a chance. Love y'all, and thank you for what all you are doing. Yeah, and
thank you.
That goes back to what I'm saying, low key, what Gina Rodriguez is saying. If your sister has something inside of her that wouldn't let her show her ass the second they show her $35 or 18 kids. We always get taught that shit, as you're addressing in your comment, like
that's not
a Latina thing. That's not everybody is basically not a white male thing. We're taught, like, even when it's a fucking agreed upon to give me my pre agreed upon sum of money, and they go, and we're gonna fuck you a little bit. We go, well, It's lucky I'm even getting paid.
Yeah. Cause your sister's really nice. Cause a lot of people are like, oh, it's more girls than what you said. Oh, I'm not teaching the class. I'm gonna waste everybody's fucking.
It's not even that your sister's really nice. It's that black people, brown people, we have it ingrained in us. We are taught to be thankful for this shit.
Right.
We have to unlearn it. You know, it's one of the reasons that I see why, I mean, personally, I wouldn't want Gina Rodriguez on any panel talking about equal pay.
Mm-mm.
Now, she's aware of her issues, and I'm glad she's honest and upfront. I don't even want you there, sis, because you're sitting there telling me, walking in like, well, I'm just happy to be here. So, I mean, I might not have the most woke shit to say. Okay, well, let somebody else take a turn, then it's cool. You don't have to do this. No one's making you do this. You don't have to be a spokesman or spokesperson for this conversation. You can easily step aside and leave it to the people that are like, I actually do give a fuck, and I actually feel like whether it makes me likable or not, y'all niggas owe me what y'all owe me, you know. Anyway, I'm glad you I hope your sister listens to you and mm-hmm. and gets her money. And the sad part is you have to be willing to walk away, because if you don't walk away, if you walk away, at least you'll respect yourself. And I say that as a person that with this show, there's been opportunities we've had to be like, nah, like sucks, you know, that could be some money for us or something down the line, but nah, not gonna do it. But at least you can respect yourself. At least I can respect myself rather than making some type of compromise I can't live with. And the fucked up part is they'll probably pay some white girl what they promised to pay.
They probably pay $150.
They probably will pay some white girl that the right amount and totally.
And she probably not even half as qualified possibly.
Right. They probably will do that shit if she says no. But if she says no, at least she can respect herself. Now, I know it's easy for me to say I don't have her bills. I don't know. Maybe that $35 matters to her or something. You can put it on your resume somehow. I don't know the specifics, but I support her if she decides to turn it down. Put it that way. Classic R&B lover says, hi, Rod and Karen. I voted yes in the poll. The poll was, were Gina Rodriguez's comments about the gender pay gap offensive? Okay. Hi, Rod and Karen. I voted yes in the poll, but I wanted to explain. My yes was not solely about this comment. It's about a pattern of things by Gina Rodriguez that make me side-eye her. Yeah, that's what I think most of y'all are saying, right, that are offended, and I understand.
Me too.
But I specifically asked the poll question about those comments because I want to get to the heart of the matter, and I appreciate your honesty about it, because I think the people saying yes are saying I have a problem with her.
Right.
Because those comments to me, it was a stretch to turn that into like it's an attack on black women, unless you just feel like she comes in the room and it's gonna be a problem with black women. Then of course she could say hi, and I'm gonna be like, hi, really, sis? What you mean by hi? You know what I mean? I think that's where people are at with it. I just haven't been embroiled in a lot of this shit. I've been trying to weed. I was not joking this year when I said I'm weeding myself out of a lot of the social media hot topics and shit, because it really does poison my mind. It makes it, it's depressing. It's stressful, and you're constantly being whipped into a frenzy over shit that, if we're being honest, I don't care about and doesn't affect my life.
Right.
A lot of it is really minuscule shit when it comes to life shit. Like, there's real life shit that, you know, maybe a conversation on Twitter might change. Most of it's not. And some of this stuff is so minute. It's like so-and-so said the wrong thing. This apology wasn't good enough. And people are just consistently like whipping it up. And some people, that's their job.
Mm-hmm. Like,
I see these patterns now. Like, 2018 has been such a great year because I've seen these people's patterns and backed off of them. Like, nah, all you do every day is start shit. You wake up in the morning, wait till you see this. Like, you're walking around basically with a handful of feces, putting it in my face and going, can you smell this? Don't it stink? All day, every day. And then I go, why do I have a headache? It's because you. You know what I mean? And so, to a certain extent, these type of topics I look at a little bit differently now, because I'm like, I don't really give a fuck what Gina Rodriguez says, but I do give a fuck why it bothered everyone so badly, unless it, when it wasn't, what, how, why it was spun the way it was spun. Mm-hmm. I'd rather people be straight up, because there's enough shit to be offended by where it don't, you don't gotta spend it.
Mm-mm.
You know, you don't gotta spend it at all. It's just what had happened. You know, there's a lot of motherfuckers just coming out saying exactly how they feel, and we don't need to like wonder, ponder, or anything. But some of the shit feels like people are making it into like Gina Rodriguez called us niggers when it wasn't. All right. She has a habit of commenting on anything involving black people in a way that diminishes black people. Saying Black Panther would have been better with Latinx people in it and being those such as, and being, I don't know what that means. And being those such as inclusion would have made no narrative sense. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, that sounds ridiculous to me. That, like I said, that enough is enough for me to be like, oh yeah, I just don't keep up with Gina Rodriguez. She's ridiculous. Like, that's it. I then don't need to like walk around with a handful of her shit making y'all smell it. That's it. Like, she's a ridiculous person. Like, as a brown person, how do you not know that? Like, it's not like I went to fucking Moana or what's my joint with the Pixar movie. Oh my god, I just,
which one?
The one where they went to the land of the dead.
Oh,
that joint was so good, I cried. Grandmama was in it. You know what I'm talking about, y'all?
Yes, Coco.
Coco. Yeah, I didn't walk out of Coco and be like, "What are black people?"
Right. That's been fucking like, ridiculous.
That enough is enough for me to be like, "Oh, Gina Rodriguez, don't get it." That's it.
Yeah. Sometimes things ain't for us, but that's then, all
right. Right. But my point is, if her saying black people and brown people need to be in Black Panther is enough for me to be like, "Oh yeah, okay, yeah, no, I'm good." That's enough. Like, it didn't, like, I don't need to then turn shit where him, sure, I actually ordered white toast instead of whole wheat toast. That's because that bitch don't like black people. I don't need to do that part of it.
I ordered sourdough toast because that bitch is sour.
Right. Like, I don't need that part of it where it's like, yeah, did you know that she likes, she doesn't like raisins in her bread? Like, I don't need that. Then when she talked about Pirates of the Caribbean type movie, it would only include white and Latinx people because clearly there are no black people in the Caribbean. I had not heard that comment. Mm-hmm. She chimed in again on Girls Trip, but had zero to say about the white girls movies. Mm-hmm. She hosted a Latino Women in Films event so she could spotlight the actresses and get to meet some of the women that she admires, which is fantastic. However, she excluded Afro-Latina actresses, and when asked about it, she said she didn't know any. Okay, all right. Well, I'm going to tell you something that you probably don't want to hear. She might not know any Afro-Latina actresses, and she might not look up to any. So that might be the truth. That should also disqualify her from talking about race.
Come on, she shouldn't have been on nobody's panel.
I just, like, who are the white people that decided who was on the panel in the first place?
Come on, they didn't do their research.
But even still, I can see how all of these things are fucked up.
Correct.
And I'm telling you, that still doesn't make those isolated comments about attacking black women to me. Now, I'm willing to grant that some of these things could have been reported out of context, because we know how the media and the internet do, but there are only so many same themed actions that can be attributed to you before everything you say and do around subject is suspect. Yeah, I agree with that. And like I said, I think that's the truth of the matter, and I wish people would be honest like you were.
Right.
And just say that that's the problem and not, yeah, because she said this and that means she don't like black people. Like, no. You think she don't like black people because she seems to not like black people. And anytime she say the word black, we about to be on her ass. And I get it. That's a different point than these comments were racist, because those comments didn't seem racist to me. Great Uncle Bob says Jessica Alba got to be in the top five white presenting Latinx folks, right? Oh yeah, she in the top five.
Mm-hmm.
Low key, J Lo in there too.
Yes, she is.
Quiet as kept. She playing an Italian in this new movie. Mm-hmm. Like. I mean, look, man, that white presenting, white passing shit is a head scratcher, and it's a very complicated and everything, mm-hmm. But you know it when you see it, you know? And I'm not surprised if their comments aren't as militant as Afro-Latina people and stuff. And even with the Afro-Latina people, it ain't always a cakewalk with that shit either, because there's some of them that say nigga, and people go, I don't like it when they do that. There's some of them that say, I'm not black. Even though my daddy Dominican, you know, it's levels to all this shit. Everybody ain't friends and getting along on a diaspora just because, you know, people have an issue with this particular woman today. That don't mean everybody gets it and is on the same page. It's all over the place out there. The poll was, were Gina Rodriguez's comments on the gender pay gap offensive? Yes, no, or I just don't like her. 20% said yes. 70% said no, which that's the group I'm in, to be honest. 11% said I just don't like her, and those are the motherfucking stars of the poll. Because I appreciate the honesty. Because I know them yeses is really I just don't like her. Y'all know it too. Y'all know it. Y'all know y'all in that group. So how, that should be the poll. How many of y'all yeses don't like her ass as well? Like, come on now. Tina says, I think her comments would have been met with better reception if she explained about intersectionality. She meant woman, then POC, then her specific group. I voted no in the poll, but it seems that she often, this panel with the, with Yar, the girls trip tweet. Yeah, I didn't see that one, but thank you for pipping me to it. Matter of fact, I'm about to Google Gina Rodriguez girls trip. Cause I do like having all the tea. Okay. So I know some of y'all think I'm just trying to be ignorant when I'm not. Cause I actually went and Googled this shit before we did the show last week, and I Googled some afterwards to be like, what the fuck is all the racism? Let's see, why don't they have they just have her tweets and not the news on it. Okay, Gina Rodriguez is back at again. Oh, that's actually Lipstick Alley. I better not click on that.
That's the wrong alley to go down.
Yeah. Let me look at this tweet, see if she deleted it or something, because I would just like to know. And I see she also apologized, apparently. Okay. All right, give me a second and let this work. I'm sorry it hurts to have been misunderstood. I hear all of y'all will keep my comments, including praise to myself. Oh yeah, she definitely made that about herself. Let's see. They want you to understand you can call for more Latina representation without mentioning black people. Hashtag well, what about us manner. Well, at, and I will keep all my comments, including my praise to myself. What? Didn't nobody ask you to stop praising black people? God, that is so sensitive. I'm not talking taking anything away. I'm talking being inspired. Follow your dreams, because then others will believe they can too. Praising. Wait. Gina, she's just saying that that's how it came off, because it's common practice to take from black people and folks in the media. I know you know this. Yeah, I'm trying to see. This is just last year too. I don't speak for all black people, but it reads off as a competition that because this race made something, we as people of color need to compete to make it. What? That mentality is bananas. Ha ha. Oh wow. Okay. Who is competing? It's already a success. That won't change because one is inspired. I'm trying to get to the original comment that sparked. This is like a thread.
Right?
Come on, man. What the fuck? Here's another great point. Relax, it's just a tweet of appreciation. What was the original fucking tweet, man? She must have deleted it.
Can't find it.
The tweet, man, that person had to protect their tweet, so I still don't know. We need a Latina. Oh, Perez Hilton said we need a Latina version of Girls Trip with you and two and others, done authentically. Latinos are so underrepresented at the movies. And then, so they said that Perez Hilton said that to what, and we know Perez Hilton got some racial issues. Mm-hmm. Said that to whatever her. Okay, so this is what she said. The hashtag, the first time I saw me was at America Ferrera and Real Women Have Curves, and I fell absolutely in love with her. I felt present and heard. So that was her. Then that's when Perez Hilton said, we need a girls trip with y'all, with Latinos in it. It's also said done authentically, which I don't understand what that means.
Mm-mm.
She put, what an inspiration Girls Trip is for our community. Those women are incredible, and I agree, this would be fucking fantastic. Okay. Is that the comment that pissed everybody off? I feel like Perez Hilton was really the one who made that shit fucked up. But I don't, yeah, all right, man, if y'all say so, man, I don't know. there's gotta be an article on this. There's no articles. All right, well, if that's what she did, that's fucked up, I guess, but that also feels like a bit of a stretch. But maybe there's another tweet or something out there I just don't know about.
Right.
All right. She wishes to have the same for her own community, with having said that she isn't opposed to black women, but also doesn't verbally acknowledge that seeing progress made by black people eventually celebrating us. She wishes the same for her own community, without having said it and there being an automatic mistrust of her for her because of those white passing Latinx and anti-blackness that can be found in pretty much any passing any community. It is not assumed that her point includes or acknowledges hard-fought battles by black communities, but Gabriel didn't feel alarmed, so perhaps there's some understanding by individuals who have direct interactions with her that she is not among the anti-black Latinx people. Yeah, Gabby, you mean Gabby Union? Yeah. In that room and in that conversation, I definitely trust that Gabby would have countered her point if Gina was expressing anti-blackness. Instead, Gabby pointed out the strides Gina has made in increasing visibility for Latinx women and the value of the project she has chosen. Yeah, I mean, and honestly, you know, if Gabby, I do feel like Gabby would have called her out, but if Gabby wouldn't have wanted to, I would have understood that too.
Right.
You know, it's a lot to basically put the black woman in the room as the like voice of reason in these conversations all the time.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes she be like, that's not my business, and I'm not here to actually speak on all black women's behalf on every time something fucked up happens.
But I do love Gabby, because Gabby speaks her mind. She is sharp as a fucking whip. Like, I remember back when I used to watch Real Time with Bill Maher, like I was blown away when she went on there. I was like, this woman is fucking brilliant. Like, I had no idea. Phil says, I just wanted to watch Jane the Virgin. Now people are canceling Gina. I'll have to focot and not watch the show anymore. Yeah, I never watched it, so maybe that's
but
why
a lot of people enjoy that show.
Yeah, someone also says she get paid for that show, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she making serious money. Laketa says, the stats she quoted are ones I've heard before, and the article about the top paid actresses was focusing on that subgroup of women, not women across the workforce. I don't particularly care for her, but I think she was unfairly pounced on because people just don't like her. I can see why she was hesitant to say anything at all. I don't know what to tell her short of say fewer things? ? Yeah. That sums up how I feel about it in general.
Yeah, and what's so fucked up about it is that it's a lose-lose situation, and people don't want to admit that, particularly on social media. If I speak up and I fuck up, it's a problem. If I don't say anything at all, it's a problem, you know. And if I speak up and I'm actually people agreeing with me, you're gonna get praised, but you're still gonna get people that's gonna attack you because you say anything at all. Mm-hmm. Particularly her, particularly if you own that I don't fuck with you list.
Yeah. We had episode 1797, Bullet Ball Explained. We had a lot of comments. A lot of people loved this episode. They were sharing it. And I skipped the Medium Talk Healthy Roots episode because y'all didn't leave any comments. Because y'all don't support black women as much as y'all talk bad about Gina Rodriguez. I mean, y'all skipped that episode or didn't leave comments and left a poor black woman who's trying to be a young entrepreneur out to dry. How many of y'all did that? But y'all want me to feel bad about Gina? Psh, all right, if that's what y'all say. We got 13 episodes on the Bullet Ball episode, 13 comments.
Got a lot to say.
Herodra Shah says, yes, we have a big lots in California. They are authentic like our tacos. Ms. Me or MZME says, Rod, Karen, Justin, I had to write in to thank you for this fabulous birthday gift that was this episode. First, a revisit to Bullet Ball and y'all voicing the ex-wife. I die and I'm sending this from the afterlife, and we got a groupie tale, nigga, again, another great episode. Thank you. Happy birthday.
Mm-hmm.
Baconzilla Bacon says, I will never miss working the opening shift at a coffee shop next to a Toys R Us. Never, ever, ever happening again. Those non-niggas brought their fights from Toys R Us to the coffee shop line. How does anyone have the energy to fight at 5 a.m.? Like, what? Love y'all. Hate y'all. Should be working, but laughing too hard. Bacon. Thanks, Bacon.
I'm glad we have a love-hate relationship with them.
Mm-hmm. For every single time we revisit the Bullet Ball story, it's always hilarious. I needed this laugh. Thank you so much, Forrest. Thank you, Forrest.
Thank you.
D. Ramsey, Ph. Dunn says, please let Rod, Justin, and Karen do all the voiceovers for all the reality shows. 5 stars, hashtag at my desk crying. Let me tell you something. I love to hear the stories of y'all cracking up in public. I do. like, you know, right now we're doing the show, we don't have a lot of people in the chat because the shit didn't the email didn't send out, but you know, seeing the people in the chat's reactions, seeing people's social media reactions, even when y'all write in and we don't agree and shit, like that means a lot to us, because you don't have to listen to this. Mm-mm. You don't have to share this. And when we, I think when we put this out, in our highest hopes in our hearts is that people are nodding their heads in agreement, people are getting entertained and laughing, people are having fun, people are opening, broadening their perspectives, or at least understanding ours. I think, and to know that y'all do get it and send that back in, that's more important than anything else.
Yeah, and also even if we don't agree, it's still a conversation. It is one of those things where you can be open to the conversation, and that's all we ask. And nothing is in a mean spirit on either side. And so that's one thing I do appreciate most of the time with our audience.
Trey Swindu says, oh my god, that shit is real, like the invisible car on Atlanta, that shit is real. Bullet ball is a real fucking thing. All three of you guys had me laughing my ass off crying. I swear this is my first time hearing this guy who invented bullet ball story, and my soul has been in tears from laughing so hard. This was a great, hilarious episode. Big thanks to light skin Jay Chala, aka Justin, for blessing us on the freemium side of the Blackout Tips universe. Thanks again, Justin, Karen, and Rod. Trey Swindu. Falcons Diva says, first of all, Bullet Ball Redux had me crying. Every time y'all revisit this, I'm in tears, and one of these days I'm gonna look for the video. I don't think it will be as good as y'all describing it. Second, I don't know if y'all should let Justin outside the paywall again.
Yeah.
Well, he said, even when you give money to the homeless, they still homeless. It took all I had not to holler at work. So problematic. Third, y'all had me bopping at my desk to Nuck If You Buck. Great show. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Classic R&B lover says, Rod, Karen, and Justin, this Bullet Ball episode should have come with a warning label. Warning, do not listen to this episode while you drive. You might find yourself laughing so hard you almost lose control of your vehicle. Two, you might laugh so hard that you almost piss your pants and narrowly avoid crashing. Oh my god, sorry. I mean, it was just too funny from beginning to end. The responses to the panel, the delusion of Mr. Bullet Ball too much. But when Justin said, as seriously as anyone can, that Mr. Bullet Ball sold his car, and Rod asked if Justin thought Mr. Bullet Ball was just walking around carrying the game table and his balls, and Justin replied, yes, because that would make Bullet Ball sense. Man, I lost it. Classic stuff. I might have to go back and find the other Bullet Ball related cast. At the very least, I have to give this a re-listen. I might never have the courage to watch the actual video. My stomach muscles and bladder can only take so much. Sam G says, yo, you niggas had me motherfucking laughing so goddamn hard at work. Everyone in my building thought I was going insane. This has to be the funniest shit I've ever heard. I don't know how many times I went back and rewinded it where he said, I have bullet ball. I'm crying. On a serious note though, if I can find his product, I'm going to ask my boss, can we purchase a few for the military enlisted clubs in Okinawa, Japan? Gotta look out for each other, and it ain't my money, so good luck, Sam.
Good luck.
Great Uncle Bob says, this is my third time hearing the bullet ball story, and it never gets old. This overly self-confident chuckles before he talks at how all he needs is bullet ball and how he's going to make it. If I only had half the confidence he has, hashtag my point. Millie Rock Lee, oh, I love that name. Mm-hmm. Millie Rock Lee says, yo, this damn episode had me and my girlfriend dying. I had real life tears in my eyes. I wanted to stop laughing because I was in pain, but y'all wouldn't stop. There was a moment when I thought I may have done actual damage to myself from laughing too long. What do you have left? Bullet ball.
Bullet ball.
I have bullet ball. Evie E says, I have to admit, I laughed so hard during the bullet ball segment that I peed my pants a little. Oh man, we're making everybody go to your doctors, get checked out, everybody. Woo, child, incontinence. I've heard the rundown before, but it was even funnier this time around. When he said, I have bullet ball, I was done. I believe he had some measure of success, but I don't think it was at the level he think. He may not be living in his car anymore, but he probably been able to upgrade to a gently used van. Good for him.
Come on, gently used van.
Future is human garbage. I hate to victim blame, but damn, anyone still allowing this fool to raw dog them, then they're asking to be saddled with all the baggage that come from this man who clearly stunted emotionally. I'd love to spot the lie in that, but I cannot. Like, I understand feminism, make your own choices and shit, but like, that's a bad choice. Trying to get pregnant by this nigga is at 35, girl. Woo, woo. I mean, I ain't saying he's supposed to be out here trying to kill nobody. Obviously, we disagree about that, but even if you could, everything was on the up and up and you still baby mama number six, I mean, oh, that's asking a lot. Not to mention the diseases and shit. I don't know. I know Sierra's looking at future other baby mamas and thinking, I'm not like the rest of those Negroes.
Ah!
Kadesha says, y'all niggas ain't shit. That was her whole comment.
Well, tell us how you really feel.
The poll was, did you know what Bullet Bar was before this episode? 60% of our audience says yes. Which means a smooth 40% of our audiences do not know what the fuck we be talking about. When we say Bullet Ball Extreme.
That's why we got that letter a few weeks ago, but that comment on one of the feedback shows, because we constantly get new audience. Like, our audience constantly grows, so every time we recap, we always get some people to hear us go Bullet Ball, and they probably go, what the fuck are they talking about?
We got comments on this. Omar C says, only because of this show and previous episodes of the Bullet Ball rap. Derek says, it gets funnier every time you explain it. Mike says, any gender, large or small, he was too far ahead of his time. Mike in London also says, I haven't listened to this episode all through yet as I'm weeks behind, so I don't know if you already said this, but the Bullet Ball song always remind me of The Message. Not that I'm a big rap fan, but that song was in the radio a lot when my children were small in the 80s. Y'all admire all the basketball players, thugs, pimps, and pushers, and the big money makers, physically challenged, large or small.
He might have took it, who knows.
Now, I always say it's like he went and found like the Kool Moe Dee, the Curtis Blow, to like he Bullet Ball. Yeah, the Bullet Ball rap ain't smooth at all. Nicole says, this was the best recap so far, so glad I wasn't listening on the train for once. Couldn't stop laughing. I did spit up my mouthwash all over the sink and was inspired to go back and listen to an older recap where I was reminded of the True Blood days. Such a treat. Anthony Animal Thug Tatum, oh, it's been forever since they commented. I love when Bullet Ball gets revisited. I think a script workshop for Rocket Ball and Rocket Ball Extreme, a working title so Bullet Ball gets no money. I know y'all had Terrence Howard in mind, but I see Denzel in a John Q style role. I wish I could animate this. Yo, Denzel would see. First of all, we not getting Denzel for Rocket Ball. Like, for Bullet Ball the movie, we not getting Denzel. That's out of the fucking question. But in my dream, yeah, I would love to see Denzel, because he would fucking murder. Because the trailer for the movie is only gonna be us watching him bomb this American inventor. Like, that's the whole trailer for the movie. We don't even really need a rest of a movie. People will come to see that scene over and over of Denzel being like, I got Bullet Ball. You don't understand. Like, they would, oh, he would kill that shit.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Brooklyn Shoe Babe says, I heard you guys explain it about a year or two ago, and it's still just funny. I heard to hear the Blackout Tips comments. J Trill added jokes was a bonus. Thanks for the last Bullet Ball Extreme. CT says, once I listen to this episode, it will be a third time I've heard you explain what Bullet Ball is. Every time, it's funny. Every time, gets more ridiculous. And I can't wait for another year to come around where y'all can break it down.
Oh, yeah. You know us. Give another year, two or three. Somebody be like, I don't know what Bullet Ball is.
Right. Scrum Master Flash says, this was an instant classic episode. I'm saving the re-listen so I can steal some of your puns and gems dropped. It was so nice to hear Justin outside of the premium feed. Yeah, we try to let them out every once in a while. See what's going on. Classic Christmas Carols was the next episode. We got 8 comments on this one. It was just me and Karen discussing all kinds of stuff. And I did put the Black Podcast list in the show notes now. I have forgot to put it in the first time,
but
re-download it, it's in there. And I will try to put it into the show notes for this episode.
Thank you.
Classmate Christmas Carols, 8 comments. Let's get to them and see what y'all had to say. Digal 704 says, these last two podcasts have had me laughing out loud so much. I'm so thankful for both of you. I almost cried during the Bullet Ball episode, and this episode was equally as funny. This show means a lot to me and has made me think about things differently. I get joy from hearing about new opportunities you have, and also when you get recognition from others. I wish you both the best of everything. Thank you.
Thank you.
704, you in Charlotte? Come on now. Shout out to 704. Trey Swindu says, you guys were comedy gold this week's episodes. The racist Christmas carols took me out. Ha ha ha. Thank you for another great one, Trey. Thank you, Trey.
Welcome.
Brooklyn Shoebae says, "Dear Karen and Rod, this is what I need you two to do. You have to do a parody Time Life music commercial of Christmas carols. The way you two was just whipping out those reimagined racist lyrics was funny as hell, yet also ruined some of my fave Christmas carols. LOL. Thank you for making some fucked up stuff funny and bearable." That's funny you say that idea, because I literally pitched that idea to Karen like a couple days ago. So maybe before Christmas we'll have a little surprise for everybody. We'll see what we do, what we can do. "Hey y'all, this is really dark night. I had to go back and listen to the men offering natural insemination to the ladies. I mean, dudes put this on Craigslist and actually get responses. We men are so nasty that people can go to the mall and get broken off in the next hour. These cats offering them services might as well have said, you gonna get all this dick. I want to get all up in your MILF guts and I want you to make it nasty. Then dude makes a helicopter in McDonald's. Men, we are trash. Peace." Yeah, I always say it's funny that women ever got labeled, or it's wild. It makes no sense that men have been successful in our society making women the ones who are ashamed of their sexual behavior.
Right.
It really makes no fucking sense, because you could never do a reverse glory hole.
Mm-mm.
You know, for those that don't know what a glory hole is, I mean, I guess you can Google it, but it probably won't give you safe results. So it's essentially like some private area where there's a hole for people to stick their penises in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not necessarily a straight, a heterosexual thing. Gay people do it. Like, it's not necessarily just a... but the point being, only people with a penis show up to put more than one penis in that fucking hole, is my point.
Yeah, a lot of times they have no idea who or what's on the other side.
Yeah, but even if they do know what's on the other side or who's on the other side, that's not the point.
Right.
17 dudes showing up to stick their dick in a hole is something that only people with dicks would do. There is no equivalent to the other side where it's like, guys, tonight and tonight only, The Rock is sticking his dick in a hole. And he's gonna be at a women's restroom that only women can come in. 17 women will not show up to have unprotected sex with The Rock at the same time, because they know that that's inherently not necessarily the safest thing to do. And the stigmas that are attached to it would make them, they would go, that's nasty and not. But men don't do that, is what I'm saying. If I've been invited to be, well, I was invited when I was younger to be involved in like group sex, which was a bunch of men having sex with one woman. Like, hey man, this girl up in this room fucking y'all, you want to come? And I'll be like, no, that doesn't seem sanitary, or that's not my fantasy, you know? No. And I'm not knocking those who it is, right. But there's a practicality to it, but only men do that. No one walks in a woman's room and goes, hey girl, it's a dude in the other room just giving out dick, you trying to come get some with us?
No,
it just never happens. So yeah, we are, but all that to say, we are trash. Yes. Great Uncle Bob says, how is Ted Nugent not made half of these racist Christmas songs already? The MAGA crew leaving the racist dollars on the table.
Come on.
Eve says, I'm going to sound old as hell saying this, but I found out all my news about current hip-hop news from the Shade Room, so I could keep up with the conversation with my younger family members. And that's how I know who the 6ix9ine kid is. Never heard his music, don't care to, but from what I've read about him, he gets away with saying nigga quite a bit, even though he's Mexican and he raps the Bloods and calls himself the king of New York. He's bragged about being untouchable by the law and how he gets away with everything, but every time there was a video of this fool, he was surrounded by 10 of the biggest black bodyguards I've ever seen. That's how I knew this kid was all talk. So I don't feel a bit sorry for him. I see so many people saying they wouldn't wish jail on anyone. Well, that's the dumbest thing I ever heard. Some people need to be in jail. He repped that life and got involved in some mess, so this is the price he has to pay for surrounding himself with gang members. I remember a time when rappers used to rap to get out of the game, now to get in it. Not to get in it. They got this boy on RICO charges. If he's found guilty on any of it, he's going to jail for longer than 7 years. Oh well.
Mm-hmm.
Danny from Florida says, Christmas Carols was the best segment ever. My mom and I were dying laughing while listening in the car. I almost choked on my water listening to y'all sing them racist Christmas carols. I gotta remember not to eat or drink while listening to y'all as a safety precaution. Thanks for another great show. Thank you.
Thank you.
KC Cologne says, y'all get on my nerves. Laugh my ass off. I am cracking up. I could listen to a whole album of classic Christmas carols. I'm replaying this episode right now. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And the poll was, will 6ix9ine snitch? I'm sorry. I hadn't looked at the results when I clicked on it. I wasn't ready.
Will he sing? Yes.
This big ass blue bar is 100%.
Come on.
God damn.
Because he wasn't really about that life.
Oh, man.
People know gangsters when they see them.
Oh, I wasn't ready. Yes, he's already snitching 100%. And no, he going to stay strong 0%. Laketta says, the very few things I know about 6ix9ine are his name is dumb. He's a non-black POC rapper with colorful hair and face tattoos, and he was accused of participating in sexually assaulting a 13-year-old girl. Maybe it's me, but I don't hear people talk about it very much, and apparently have no issue working with him. Yo, Kanye's on the scene with him recording. Nicki was recording with him, and Nicki's brother went to jail. Like,
and people brought that up.
Like, I don't get it. It just ain't for me to get. I'm not trying to be on some holier than thou type, like, my generation wouldn't. No, I'm saying my generation would. It was fucked up then. And it's fucked up now. And it's weird. More importantly than anything is that, I don't know. You would think there would be some things that would just make you kind of uncool.
Yep, they're like, that's the hot person. So it don't matter what you do. If you hot, I'm on it. A lot of people have that philosophy when it comes to particularly the music industry.
I always felt like, I don't know, pedophilia was one of the few things that even criminals agreed was fucked up. And this dude is like a whole ass rap star. CT says he's young and dumb. He's in a lot of trouble and he has loyalty to no one else but himself. He's snitching as I'm typing this message. But what he doesn't know is he's still going to the big house. He better get ready.
Oh yeah, they still gonna throw him in jail.
True. Feds don't play, man. Like,
and you gotta serve all that time.
Unless you can get like some major, like, I don't know, unless they can flip you to do some major like snitchery for them. It's hard. 1799 Henry Juice Jones was the episode we recap Walking Dead. Fireworks says to the recapologist, Rod and Karen, another great recap of The Walking Dead. I mean, the twist y'all put on it with the titles and the songs and the clips, no one does it like y'all. Thank you. I'm happy they finally revealed the Whisperers. That fight scene looks straight out of Mortal Kombat from Sega days. That zombie caught him with the finish him and crucified Jesus. He probably be back in 3 days, but I doubt it too. Well, see if the rock is moved from the cave. Two questions I have. Last episode, when Dog got caught up in the trap, do you think that was a coincidence or maybe the Whisperers were behind it? Karen has said that she thinks maybe the Whisperers were behind it. Like, that's her strategy. That's her theory. She's told me about it several times. I think she even said it on the show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think that's what happened, but I mean, that's the point of having such a cool villain crew as the Whisperers is that could have been it. But then I just don't see what the game plan would have been to then trap the dog but not kill, you know, Carol and Daryl and them. But I don't know. Maybe they could be trying to recruit them instead of kill. I don't know. I don't know. That's what I got for you. I'm sorry. I don't have a definitive answer, Karen. But that is Karen's theory.
Yeah, that's my philosophy. That's mine.
Yeah. So, you know, she called it first. And lastly, is this the first half season of only you and Karen doing the reviews? No guests? Not that it matters, but I realize I don't recall any guests and I enjoyed it the same way. Peace. Fireworks. It is the first time we've done that, I believe. One, no one reached out to us to be a guest this time, to be honest. Sometimes people used to email and DM me like, can I be a guest? Two, it's much easier when we don't have to plan around other people's schedules. And, but with the delay on Crowdcast, recapping can be a little difficult because recapping has there's a lot of timing shit to what me and Karen do, the jokes and the back and forth and stuff and queuing up sounds on the computer and stuff, it's not always as fluid when we have another person involved, so there's a little delay in it. Yeah, it's our first time, and to be honest, I never even thought about it. Like, I was never like, man, we really need to get some guests up in here. I was like, that's cool. The recaps are getting, they get to be kind of short and like focused when it's just us. And then of course the third thing, less and less people are liking the show.
Right.
So I don't want to like bring people on here into a show where we're very positive on the show. And then like, you know, people talk about yucking people's yum. I don't like to yum people's yucks either. Like, if you don't like something, I'm not the type of person to force it down your throat or tell you why you have to like it.
Correct.
Or get an attitude because you don't like a thing that I like. Like, I don't like any of that shit. It's corny. I think people shouldn't do that to people. So, you know, if people's kind of general tone is, I don't watch the show, I don't like the show, at that point, they just be on our podcast just because they like being on our podcast. And I'd rather give a fun recap than do a, like, look at who we got on the show today.
Yeah, that's the case. We just have him on a regular show.
Deme, I think is how you pronounce it, says, who in the hell left the gate open? Gabe's love struck ass. Though I agree with Rod on not wanting to see Negan locked up for another 6 years, I still felt utter disappointment in Gabe. Also, I don't know what left me more shook. Jesus being the one to die or how he died. Just hope I can get myself together by February. The previews got me real excited for what's going to go down. The Whisperers being discovered and Negan free. Woo, child. You know something I haven't seen anybody bring up yet? Oh, you know why? Because they never got to it. But if they reveal that Jesus and Aaron were a couple, then people might be like, hey, they killed a gay person on this show.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, because the show's so cool, they got more than one gay person to kill. Shout out to all the other shows with one gay person on it for the whole show. Turk says, hi guys, the Whisperers are scary. This part of the comics freaked me out, but seeing it is the stuff of nightmares. Yo, mm-hmm. Absolutely,
seeing it
Turk.
Is completely different.
I read the comics. I'm current. I thought I was ready. I was not fucking ready.
Mm-mm.
I, like, Karen can attest, I was on the couch like, oh, I don't know why I didn't see it coming.
Me, I did not either.
Like, I'm a smart person. I see things coming. It was just the way he ducked was so, I was like, that would scare the fuck out of me.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like if you tried to smash a roach and the fucking roach just like got up and got a gun. You'd be like, what the fuck?
Yeah, shit. One just flew away and I was like, bitch, you got to die.
Yeah, it's like a roach flying towards you. Like, it would freeze me in the moment. The walkers at the beginning of the episode with a live person's eyes had me staring extra hard at every walker. Then seeing that walker hit that dip while Jesus was showing off and the other walkers running with knives scared me so bad I was afraid to get my laundry out the basement afterwards. Yeah, especially that fog and the storm. They knew what they was doing.
And they pulled them knives out of nowhere. Dog. So I couldn't even imagine them kind of having those knives and just kind of just fucking people up in the midst of the crowd. And don't nobody see them. Like, they mm-hmm. come, fuck them up, and then kind of go back into the crowd. People would think they were losing their minds.
And you can't even tell how many Whisperers there are. Do you think there are a small group like Rick's early group, or medium like the current communities, or large like the Saviors? Them blending in with walkers is genius because you can't tell how many of them are around at any moment, and it makes killing walkers as unsafe as ever. Yup. And they look like they manipulate herds and can form up and shit.
Right, because they'll follow them. The herds would just, yeah. The regular zombies will follow them, and that's how they got them to like kind of hold a pattern. We know zombies don't do this. Mm-hmm. Go around in circles because they just follow who's ever in front of them.
I can't wait for more of Angela Kang's storytelling. I just rewatched seasons 4-6 looking for the episode she co-wrote. I'm really wondering how much of the storytelling was Scott Gimple versus other people. I wonder how and why things went so wrong behind the scenes during 7 and 8. Because the character development and plot was so good season 1-6. Even the cliffhanger, which will always live in infamy as the only episode ever that Karen hated, was genius. Though it works more effectively during a binge watch. Yeah, because you can just go to the next episode.
Mm-hmm.
Either way, I love this show and I hope it's on air for at least 20 years like Law and Order SVU, because I'll always watch. Peace, Turk. Thanks, Turk. We appreciate it. And I couldn't think of a poll for this episode, so I didn't ask one.
Yeah, and I do think binge watching made a big difference. Mm-hmm. With that versus you watching it episode by episode.
Mm-hmm. Let's see, what time are we at? Oh, we got plenty of time. All right, let's get into a couple of you guys, I believe, left voicemails. Let me see if I can play them. Okay, so this one came in.
I said we know how Scott get.
Yeah, this one came in Friday. Actually, let me double check, because I can't tell when it's so this one is, this one says Friday. What? Oh, that's just a missed call. All right, cool. Trying to see which one of these is actual voicemails. What's just a missed call? So that's just a missed call. And then this is a voicemail. All right, let's see if we can play it.
Hi, I hope this is Rod and Karen.
It is.
This is Paula, a listener from up in Canada, and I've been listening to you guys for a couple of years now. Just listened to Bullet Ball Explained, and I'm there are tears running down my face because I'm laughing so hard at this episode. It is insanely funny and tragically sad at the same time. It's really funny to me, though, because I've been listening to you guys for almost 2 years and didn't know what Bullet Ball was, so I assumed that it was some kind of, you know, political manifesto on the state of being black in America, you know, that you guys are always having to watch out for the police and stuff. Anyway, that's what I figured it was. And Bullet Ball Extreme, of course, on really bad days. Anyway, I'm glad I'm wrong, but I'm not wrong either. But that was a great episode. That was probably my favorite episode since the one where the KKK guy died and he was playing the song Celebration. Oh, God. You know, it's so awesome that just remembering stuff that you guys have done can still make me laugh. I'm having a hell of a bad week, but thank you so much for the laughing endorphins. I really needed them. Great show. Carry on.
Yeah, we used to have t-shirts in the old cafe press store we had. Mm-hmm. And one of the shirts, I think happened because of Bullet Ball, or maybe it's just another sad story, but it was the Hot All shirt.
Right.
And it was a smiley face and a frowny face next to each other. And yes. Then like a ha and then a AW afterwards, like AWW for all. Because that's what I think our show is. It's ha because it's funny, but aw because it's kind of sad. And I was like, you know, the Bullet Ball story is very much a story of like,
right,
our type of vibe of it's sad but it's funny but it's sad, you know, like.
Yes.
And then, and ultimately he perseveres and does have a sport that, I mean, he's right, he perseveres to his dream and he's absolutely right, but yeah, it took him being on a national stage in a way that a lot of people would have seen as humiliating, and he still made it. So
mm-hmm.
Next voicemail, I think the last one for the week.
This is Dave again. I basically just got cut off from expressing frustration with anti-voting sentiment from a number of black people that I've seen during this election cycle. And once or twice I've seen this one meme saying, my ancestors didn't fight and die so we could choose our next massive president.
Wow.
The sentiment where it's almost like it's revolutionary to not vote. And I think a lot of it kind of comes from, afraid that you're going to get hurt because you put an effort towards something and you don't yield the result that you like.
Right.
And that could be from any kind of democratic, mechanism of like protesting, getting together to vote in a certain way and not being able to get the result that you want. And and black people dealt with a lot of disappointment and heartache, and I think that's where a lot of that anger and vitriol comes from, because they don't want to get their hopes up again. And I think some people are even too afraid to just express that. They just want to come off a little bit more strong and go, fuck voting, how dare you bring up our ancestors fought and died for this right to full citizenship that includes the ability to vote. I just wanted to vent on that and finish that sentence. You guys have a great one.
Thanks, Daz.
Thank you.
You know, the first thing I would say, oh, I see, because he called earlier and got cut off. All right, hold on. Let me play that message too. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but I can say, because it sounds like a continuation.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't see it.
To his nation, this is dad. So I got done early voting today. We had some districts that had to be contested. A friend of mine, beautiful black woman, very intelligent, progressive, Lavette Fuller, she ran in her district. And her opponent apparently believes that the only reason why Lavette shouldn't win is because she's not a mother yet. She's gotten roasted in several different comments, and I hope she gets roasted in this election. We also have the mayoral election going on here in Shreveport, Louisiana. It's actually between two black Democratic candidates, and one of which is from a neighborhood I grew up in. There's a lot of crime, a lot of violent crime. He graduated from West Point when he went to the Army. First black class president with the Harvard Business Law, and he seems pretty progressive. I believe he's gonna take it. But I believe the only reason why he got in is because here in Shreveport, the conservatives were so split between all the different possible conservative candidates they had. I wish I could say that a lot more black people voted. But we still have so much negative attitudes towards voting. I talked to a black trans woman, and she said that her reason for not voting is because voting isn't going to stop all the black trans women getting killed. And that in itself, I had to stop because I had to stop talking to her at that point. I was too done. I was too angry. It's like, you look at Ted Cruz in Texas. These people don't even like Ted Cruz, and they voted him in. That is the very reason why you should get out there and vote. And then so many black people are so proud to have an attitude against.
Yeah, that, and then so
okay,
second
so,
part of this was the first part.
We played it in reverse,
part.
Right?
But yeah, I understand. Mm-hmm. That's all I got for you. I understand. I think it's counterproductive, and the problem that I have is there's a lot of people who hide behind the whole shaming thing.
Mm-hmm.
It was especially telling when people had that backlash to Oprah, because one, I did not find her comments to be necessarily shaming. I thought it was a stretch to call them shaming. But let's say you find that to be shaming. Oprah was only one person that went down there to talk to Stacey Abrams. The same people didn't respond to any of that other shit. Like, all the people who were saying, I'm not voting, I'm a black person, and I'm too woke to vote, they refused to acknowledge John Legend, Common, all the other people that had something to say a positive message of just inspiration. And I'm not going to say anything about, you know, no, anyone that doesn't vote, I'm not saying anything to you. Just, I want you to vote. Crickets. It's because some people seize on these moments to try to hide their apathy behind, it's because big bad people making me feel bad. And it's not that. You're apathetic and you don't want to feel bad about it. You know, and you want to, and I don't mind, to be honest, I understand that people are going to be apathetic.
Agreed.
But we've gotten to this point where motherfuckers want to be apathetic and right. They want to not care and then make you feel bad for caring. They want to not care and then tell you why them not caring means they care more than you.
Right.
And I refuse. I am insulted by that. And I refuse. I'm not going to sit up here and act like that's a valid point when it's not. Now look, if you don't care about yourself, if you don't care about your fellow people, if you're so nihilistic, if you need your purity more than you need to improve the conditions around you, fine. Have at it. But I don't have to respect it at all.
Right.
I don't have to look at it and go, that's the way you should be. I don't have to respect you. Like this is bullshit, this thing where we have made so much stuff about us personally in a way of being like, this is how I view things, so therefore this is the truth. But that's not necessarily the truth. You know? And like I said, that same like attitude, you better not say a fucking thing when these white people say, I'm not voting unless it's Bernie. I better never see you complain. You better not say anything when they go, I won't vote for Hillary. I'll just write in Jill Stein. You better not say shit. I don't vote. I'm a white person. I just don't feel like voting. you better not say shit, because it ain't no different. They got the same vote you got, and you over here trying to parse a fucking difference and won't use your one vote but mad because of how they use theirs. Matter of fact, I don't even want to really hear you be mad that white people vote for racist shit, because you won't take yours and offset it. What is that? Like, what can you really even be mad about? But that's the thing, some people are professionally mad. They wake up, they're mad, they're banging on everybody.
It's the brand.
It's, you know, it's why they complain about Gina Rodriguez but don't vote. You know, it's just easier to do one thing than to do the other to them. You know, somehow they lose ground if they actually give a fuck. You know, is it not disappointing to vote and lose? It absolutely is. I live in North Carolina. I know this. Okay? I know this. I'm from the South. I live here too. You know what I mean? Like, I've never lived anywhere else. I know what it feels like to give a fuck and to be like, damn, not enough people gave a fuck with me, or too many people gave a fuck the other direction.
Right. And because of that, I got the right to let my voice be heard and be like, fuck you, I didn't vote for this.
Right. But yeah, I just don't want to hear, you know, it's why I just don't want to hear that shit. I'm from down here. It does matter. And like I said, these last few elections, I can't even necessarily say it's for me. And I know that these politicians are racist as well, but I know I'm using my vote and my privilege and my ability to vote in a way that a lot of people never will be able to, whether they're incarcerated, whether they've had to change IDs because of their gender orientation, whether somebody just decided you don't have the right kind of ID, whether they can't get the time off of work. I'm using my vote for them too, for my people that can't use a fucking bathroom, what the right bathroom that they want to go to, like you too. And that's okay if you think I'm the enemy for that, if you think I ain't doing shit for that, if you want to shit on me for that, that's cool, that's fine. But I know how I feel, and I know that our ancestors did not fucking die in a way that was not explicit. They have, all you said to me is that I don't read or study shit. That's all you just said to me. I don't know any of my own history. I don't read and study anything, because every last one of those motherfuckers got books and everything out there. Like, no, I wanted motherfuckers to vote because racist motherfuckers vote, and that's a way of combating this system. It's not the only way, it's not the be all end all. I'm not naive or stupid, but what I am saying is it is a tool, and it's the way that I would use a fucking hammer and I would use a screwdriver. I'm gonna use all the tools in my box to try to do this shit to get free. And I won't disrespect what they meant when they said that. I won't try to misconstrue it either. So, and I'm sorry you're frustrated, Dad. I'm frustrated as well. And the main thing I could tell you is what I did. I stopped engaging with those people.
Yes, sir.
I just stopped engaging with those people because they do this thing where they loudly scream and then they go, but I don't want anyone to make me feel bad. Well, you're the one putting this energy out there. You know what you can do if you don't want to vote? Shut the fuck up about it and not vote. But you're not doing that. You want the world to know that you are so apathetic that you refuse to put in on this, and you're so pure and better than everybody. Well, if you want the world to know, guess what's going to happen? The world's going to have some fucking comments for you. And then you go, poor me. Well, you could have not said anything. Be apathetic enough to shut the fuck up then too. No, you wanted the smoke and then you got it, and then you go, why are you making me feel bad? Because your shit makes people feel bad too. That's why everybody affects each other. You know, when people say the shit I'm saying makes them feel bad, I just accept that. Okay, well, I guess I'm gonna get some of that smoke. Well, y'all niggas know how I say, how I feel. You can keep the energy away from me now, because y'all absolutely know how I feel. So you don't even have to start this conversation with me, because you know how it's gonna end. And you know it's gonna get contentious, and I'm not backing down. I've thought about this for years now, and especially after 2016, you'll never catch me letting you feel okay around me on some, I just don't see the point. Okay, well, I'm gonna tell you the point. Now you're making me feel bad. Well, that you should have never brought it up around me. So anyway, but thank you, Daz. We got a bunch of emails. The sweetest and most informative part of my day. This is from Chi Chi.
Aww.
From Cleveland. Dear Rod and Karen, whoops, this email is going to be too late to read on Saturday's feedback show, but y'all have to excuse my Nigerian people time. It's like CP time, but way worse. Anyways, I've been a long time. We got Kenya, Nigerian representative. Let's go. I've been a long time listener, and lately you guys have been churning out quality content this past year. Episode 1723, A Bit on the Nose, where you guys went through all the different types of apples, had me cracking up. It's the simple joys that make this life, that make adulthood worth it. Episode 1736, All Trump Voters Are Racist or Complicit. I mean, do we have to say more? Your nuanced discussion of Trump as a symptom of a complicit Republican Party makes me want to shout. Episode 1766, Thoughts and Prayers with JL Covan, has to be my favorite episode of the entire year. The three of you all play off each other perfectly. Thank you. Shout out to you guys for continually shouting out other podcasts that become my favorites. Hey Andy, Randy, and Sock Puppets on the three guys on. Lastly, a special thank you to Karen for that HelloFresh hookup. Photo attached. She did take a picture with her HelloFresh box. I'm sorry, go ahead, Karen, I cut you off.
No, I said she welcome, baby, because we get free, and periodically I'll just go on Facebook and give them away, and the first people, I just give them the code and they can get a free HelloFresh.
And she took a picture with it. I can't wait to cook these meals. Honey, with all the love.
Huh? I said, enjoy your meal, baby.
With all the love in the world, Chi Chi from Cleveland. Hey, and this is a great picture of you in this HelloFresh box. And trust me, I am a HelloFresh stan. I made some HelloFresh today.
Oh, and it was so good. Some kind of spinach ravioli with some chicken sausage. It was good.
Mm-hmm. And I take pictures of stuff, be fighting for the gram with my food pics, but mostly just to inspire myself to keep cooking, because you know, you cook or you go out, and normally spend more, eat more and eat less nutritious shit. And HelloFresh has also put me on to some things I just didn't know, like I like chickpeas apparently, you know. Mm-hmm. Who knew?
Mm-hmm.
And I know they make hummus, guys, but I had never had them in just the chickpea form I remembered.
And couscous.
I like couscous apparently. I know how to make risotto, and it's time consuming, but when I make it, it's delicious.
Mm-hmm.
Kiera writes in, my favorite thing to do now is to go back to old episodes of the Blackout Tips. I wish I could leave a review for each and every episode I've listened to recently, but it would take up too much of your time, so I just want to bring up a few highlights. One, most podcasts do not age well, but the Blackout Tips is not one of those podcasts. I can listen to older episodes that feel like it was created yesterday. For a podcast that discusses current events, Rod and Karen ensure they discuss the bigger picture when talking about current events. Thank you.
Thank you.
I never understood why Rod and Karen always considered Justin problematic. Then I listened to episode 747 with Justin. From Justin not understanding why it was wrong for a man to quit True Blood for not wanting to do a gay scene, to him jokingly encouraging men to beat their wives into submission, to the pervy gynecologist conversation, only one or two things can be true. Either one, Justin has grown and matured, or two, Justin is kept behind a paywall to avoid general population. I'm gonna say both of those things are true. You say only one of two, I say both. I think he has matured, and I think he also is behind a paywall, because we don't need to subject y'all to that. Since I am a paying customer that has access to balls deep, I've come to the conclusion that y'all keep Justin behind a paywall because you never know what he's gonna say. He's absolutely my problematic fave, but I understand why you gotta pay to listen to him. LOL. Love you, Justin. Yeah, alright, so just in full transparency's sake, the reason Justin's behind a paywall is because honestly that's the time that we can record the show
schedule.
And he normally, like, his work schedule just made it so that he could not come out here at night and record with us after Karen gets off, so we just, you know, you get into these, but he would have like 4 days off and we use those to record Balls Deep, and I never felt really, I don't like imposing and being like, let's record Balls Deep and then another day of your few days off that you get,
right,
come out here at night and record another show with us. It just felt gratuitous. So that was really what happened, you know, to be honest. You just get to working.
Yeah,
and
we enjoy having him on.
Yeah, which is ironic because he loves the show so much, he would come on extra nights of the week, but I'm like, you know, hang out with your wife and do family. It's your day off. You know, I don't feel right. I already feel kind of weird with us doing Balls Deep so much, you know? So that's what happened. And of course, I mean, we say Justin's problematic, but we're problematic. The show's problematic.
Right.
And
everything is.
I know Justin, so I know when he's joking and shit, but I think just like anyone who does podcasts, it takes a while before you realize it's real. Anyone who does an actual podcast, if they start to pick up listeners for real, like, you know, when it's just a handful of people or your friends or a couple people follow you on social media, it's not the same. Mm-mm. It's like you can say anything and they'll be like, I love you. It does. I'm just here to listen because I support you.
Right.
It's when you know there's thousands of people listening to what you're saying and they're strangers. They don't know you. And you say something and it has consequences. You say something and it pisses people off. You say something and if you haven't thought about what the smoke is going to be that comes with that, you might not be ready for that smoke. And Justin was minimally online at the time. Very little Twitter interaction, very little Facebook interaction with fans and shit. And I think to him, this was just like a room he goes in and cuts up with his friends. And I had to be like, no, this is why that's not that way. The other thing I love about Justin, we can have conversations where we disagree and it doesn't have to be contentious.
Right.
This is a big thing for me with most of my friendships. I don't find that I'm necessarily agreeable in most of my friends. Like, not that I look to disagree, but just if we disagree, I like to be honest about it. And I find that, especially online now, there's just not a lot of room for people to have a difference of opinion without it becoming like personal attacks, insults, mm-hmm. and mocking and stuff of that nature, right. and then being taken personally. And the thing is, Justin's one of the few people that I feel like we can have a conversation live on the air where we both disagree. And one of us will either go, okay, I see what you're saying now, or, well, I don't see what you're saying, but what do you mean by this? Because we mostly are seeking to be understood, not seeking to win a debate. You listen to most podcasts, most forms of media, TV, all this shit. The news kind of started this. It's a debate.
Right.
Who can win the argument?
Not to be understood.
Right. But we have organic conversations, and that True Blood conversation was a great example of that. I still remember that to this day, because by the end he was like, oh, maybe it was even a few episodes later, he was like, oh yeah, I see what you mean. Like, yeah, because that this means you're either a good actor or you're not. And if you don't want to do it, then it kind of does mean, to a certain extent, you must be homophobic. Because there's just no other way. But it's not like we came to that conclusion right away or immediately, or, and at no time did people get hot and start calling each other stupid or anything like that. And that's why Justin gets to be, you know, that's why we're so close. It's because I need that type of energy in order for someone to be my friend. And when people fall off and we're not friends, it's because of the same reason. They can't handle being, like, because I'm never mean about it and I'm never rude, but I am. Like, honesty can be nice, and being straightforward can be nice, and you can have tact, and I try to make sure I maintain that, but
everybody can't handle that.
Yeah, everybody can't handle that. Like, it's amazing how many people are just kind of like culture personality people. Like, I said a thing, you can't look at this thing any other way than what I told you to think at it, you know, and vice versa. Justin's changed my mind on I remember the episode of Balls Deep. We talked about coaches kind of like roughing up players and shit, and I was like, what's wrong with that? Like, I mean, my coaches did it. Sometimes these little motherfuckers need to yell at them and get in their face, and it's so common. If you watch any level of coaching, it is very common, except for like super professional sports. It's very common for a coach to like motivate you by yelling at you. And Justin kind of broke down like, nah, it's not right. And I remember having that conversation, like, and it probably was 20-30 minutes of Balls Deep one day. And by the end, I was like, you know what, dude, that makes perfect sense.
Right.
Why do I accept that as a thing that has to happen? But he didn't call me stupid, he didn't disrespect me, he didn't, you know what I mean? It was, he was adamant to his point, and we communicated in such a way that we're able to disagree, and he brought me around to being like, to where now if I see any coach put his hands on a player, get in some kid's face, I'm immediately like, fuck that dude.
Yeah, that's always been a turn off to me. Always. It's the way of a coach, in my opinion. It's ways that coaches flex their authority over people that are there for absolutely positively free. I'm fucking getting up at 5 a.m. running and jogging. You're maintaining my schedule, particularly in college. You got my time all fucking tied up. I can't work. Have all these rules and regulations, particularly with football and basketball. I can't go pro. Everybody makes money off my likeness but me. What you're not going to do is fucking yell at me.
Yeah, I wasn't trying to bring the point. I was trying to make an example. I was trying to relitigate the argument. I'll just say it like it. That's an example of him bringing me around on some shit, you know? Because
right.
I think people often think of me as a one-way street of like, Rod thinks he know everything. He just tell people what to think. But all the, like, maybe because I don't make a big deal out of it, but it happens all the time that I'm like, oh yeah, you right. You know? It just happens. It's just, you know, and I don't want to be the kind of show where we take the time out every time that happens to be like, isn't it good? We can just still have conversations and two people can disagree. I hate those fucking shows. I hate that shit. So I'll just, you know, so it happens. And if you notice, you notice. If you don't, you don't. But right. That's really the key to me and Justin anyway. Is that he does listen and vice versa and kind of communicate the same. 3, I realize you and Karen are the professionals and I'm grateful to a listener, and when you've grown and evolved, some things are not repeated, but I thoroughly enjoy episode 1587 and with the 2017 wrap up, you said that cheating niggas set black people back and I choked on my food and had a grain of rice go through my nose. Y'all are crazy. You both know what's best for the show, but if you decide to do a 2018 wrap up, I know it'll be hilarious. Matter of fact, I feel like you can talk 2017 list. Take 2017's list, replace a couple of names, and call it 2018 wrap up, because history repeats itself.
Come on!
We might do that. I thought we did one last year, or this year for 2017 as well.
That's what they were saying. We did 2017.
Oh, 1587? Yeah. Okay, yeah. So that was, okay, yeah, you're right. We might do that. I don't know, like, it's really just a matter of taking the time out to write the list and do it, but I love those episodes. Back in the day, I remember we used to do what set white people back, what did set black people back. But we had guests, and then like, for the white people, what set white people back, we had white guests just to be like, why'd y'all do this? It was a ridiculous episode. It was so funny.
Yeah, we had Dexter on one time.
It's like, Dexter, you know, y'all set us back with, this was
supposed to be. I mean, explain your people.
4, I'm doing a paper on Black Lives Matter and social media, and your show is one of the high points for the paper. I know you both are not activists, but I appreciate that you make space for activists and talk about the important issues of marginalized communities. We do what we can, you know. Mm-hmm. We would definitely be talking about that stuff, whether we had a podcast or not, but.
Correct.
You know, I think it's an important distinction to me to make sure that people don't associate us with activists.
Correct.
One, because I respect the work that actual activists do.
Right.
Two, activists are humans too. There's activists that don't like each other. There's activists that are petty, that are jealous. There's a lot of shit, but our show doesn't need to get involved in all that. And mm-hmm. I try my best to stay out. It's why, you know, I let other people kind of do the, like, this why Sean King ain't shit, and this why DeRay ain't shit, and this why this other act, the Black Lives Matter ain't shit, and this why. That's really for them to do. Right. I'm really just hoping and rooting for everybody and hoping they're all on the up and up and staying the fuck out of it, because I don't really know. And the more shit you find out, the closer you get to people in that space, the more you see their flaws, just like anyone else. Right. And you realize that, yo, this is not my lane.
Right.
So, yeah, but we talk about things because, look, man, contrary to popular belief, niggas in the South, we vote Democrat mostly, and we are politically aware. We're not just some fucking country bumpkin, stupid ass motherfuckers
right.
for Bernie Sanders to ignore. Like, we care. And if anything, I'm glad our show shows that we care and that we're not just, you know, the stereotypes people have of us, where there's nothing wrong with this, but we're not just like some religious, socially conservative, ignorant, you know, all this other shit. Like, we're a lot of different things. 5, the first episode I went back to listen to was 1500 and I loved it. Every time you reach 100 mark of episodes, it seems like you both take time to reminisce on where you both came from. It makes me laugh every time you make fun of your first episode, and I just love going to on the journey with both of you. Thank you. This is long enough. Appreciate you and Karen for doing the show, and I look forward to thousands of more episodes.
Thank
yeah.
you.
I think actually today might make episode 1800.
Oh, what?
If I'm not mistaken, I had to look at the
yeah, we don't be keeping count. Y'all actually keep better number count than we do.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, I think this is episode 1800 y'all listening to right now. Yep, it is. So this will be our 1800th official, you know, Blackout Tips episode. Back to these emails. This episode is 3 hours long, episode 1742, The Breastfeeding Defense. It has taken me nearly 4 hours to finish the episode because I keep going back listening to portions of the show. I've never watched True Blood a day in my natural born life, but the amount of hate watching you and Justin did for the show is ridiculously funny. That's what they say. The fact that you were upset that the KKK wasn't done with racism against blacks, but was mad that they tried to go to Mexicans, really brought me to tears. And Justin imitating KKK members at the meeting had me snotting out my nose. Look, I know these episodes are old and you got better things to do than read overviews of episodes from years ago, but this shit is pure comedy. You all are truly sit down comedians in the most respectful, hilarious way ever. Thank you.
Thank you.
It's all right. This is what the feedback show is for. You know, like, I don't mind. Plus, sometimes you need to be reminded that your shit was hot back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Also, last week I didn't get to read it because it came in a day late, but we did get an iTunes review from Nigeria.
Woohoo!
Speaking of that podcast diaspora, worth every star, 5 stars. This is by Zinzi Iyai. I hope I said that right. Who says, this podcast has opened my eyes on so many levels while also providing amazing entertainment every week. These guys are the hardest working podcasts out there, and I have not once regretted hitting that subscribe button. You won't either. Thank you.
Thank you, baby.
All the way from the motherland. We appreciate you. Steve says, heads up on Latinx. Quick heads up on this. If you are on the same page with it, my bad. I may have missed your intro to it. Latinx is used to remove the gender from Latino or Latina. The primary use for this term is not gender or stereotype Latin people, and to allow those that feel they don't identify with male or female to have something to call their own. As far as I know, it's not intended to be a catch-all for Latin people. I've heard the opposite, but that's fine. Love what you do and keep doing it. Not that you need me to tell you that. I already put 5 on it. Don't shame me. Hope the end of the week goes well for you. I'm not gonna shame you, Steve.
I'm not gonna shame you, but I've heard
that people said if you're, don't just use it for like trans Latin, like just use it as a catch-all is what I've heard. Mm-hmm. because if not, I would be saying Latino, which is essentially the male form.
Right.
So they say use Latinx if you're trying to do a catch-all for everybody. Now, that being said, not my table, not my party, just doing what I've learned. If this is offensive to somebody and they want to explain why, I'm happy to hear why. Mm-hmm. You know, but from my understanding, this has been more of a catch-all than saying basically the male version. So anyway, that's my introduction to it. Let's see, Lola writes in. Wait, how much time we got left?
57.
Okay. All right, I'll do this email and we go to the next session. Lola writes in, good day to you all. It is a beautiful Tuesday in Los Angeles. I'm sending my address to y'all so y'all can send me a card. I already have a card ready. Okay, all right, so this is just that. So much has happened in the world, much of it negative and so very sad. The Black Autism is my filter. I'm a premium member and enjoy all the content inside the paywall. Thank you for being so professional, dedicated to the work. I've turned all my kids onto the Black Autism and selected coworkers. You gotta select them. I feel you. Thank you for the address. Have a beautiful holiday season. All right, I'll put this in the Christmas card list. My bad.
Thank you.
Must put it in the wrong box. Yeah, some of y'all, I'm like, just send your address and people are like, Rod and Karen, I love y'all, let me tell you why. And I'm like, oh, okay. Aww. This is a regular feedback episode. And it's like, oh, my bad, it's holiday card. Alicia says, oh my god, y'all had me dying at work, dying with the history behind Bullet Ball. I had to go back and re-listen. This one is a classic, right next to the episode where that politician messed up his answer on hiring black people and said forget it.
Yes, forget it.
What was that episode called again? Please keep up the good work. I love y'all.
I don't remember, baby, but that was hilarious.
All right, let's get to the next email. LJ writes in, hello Rod and Karen, long time listener, first time writer, found your podcast on the list of black podcasts in 2015. I was moving from the US to the UK and I wanted to maintain a connection to black American culture. I figured podcasting was the best way to do that. Let me start by saying I love this show. I listen to just about every episode and find myself laughing at the jokes and even nodding in agreement at the serious stuff. The minute I heard Justin's voice on the Bullet Ball episode, I saved the episode to my phone because I already knew that I would want to keep this hilarious gem around. When the three of you get together, the jokes do not stop. I'm still laughing at the cookies, the Coon Keys episode. But when I tell you that you all talking about Bullet Ball was next level, man, I listened to that episode around 50 of them times in the last couple of days, and every time I was rolling on the floor. My God, this was practically embarrassing. As one of the times I was listening, I was sitting in the back of a crowded public bus and I was trying so hard to prevent myself from falling off the seat while trying to suppress my laughter. Keep up the excellent work. work best black across the pond. Thank you.
Thank you.
We try, man. We try. Thank you so much for listening. And I'm glad people got so much joy out of this.
Yes.
Nerd Geek Ninja, our girl Iman says, I feel evil now. If I end up in hell because of all the times you explain bullet ball, I'm going to be super mad. Hey, Rod and Karen, hope you're well, but all are evil. I knew the entire video and was dying, crying, could not breathe. I hate y'all. I scared my daughter because I was literally on the floor. Oh my God. New to Black Guy Autistic listeners, please go to the website and listen to the old episodes about bullet ball. I am not about to die laughing over bullet ball. I don't want my husband to answer the question, what happened? Hell, bullet ball. Thank y'all so much for the last. Justin was a delight as always. Love y'all, but I need a moment. Damn, Iman. Thanks, Iman. I'm seriously so happy y'all got love that episode.
Yes, I always love recapping. It's so much fun.
Yeah, somebody said on my Facebook or Twitter, it's like, you know, they were scared there was gonna be one of those moments where people talk about this inside joke is so funny, and then they start explaining it and it's not funny and then it sucks. It's like, oh God, you built up the hype to this. They was like, nope, it fucking killed me. It was great. And I know there's some people that are too awkward or whatever to laugh at the whole thing, and I get it. Sometimes I have overload empathy, and that was my first response the first time I heard it. But subsequently, nah, I can laugh at it, especially knowing he turned out okay.
Yes.
Anthony says, or Uncle Bob, I'm sorry, says, hey Karen and Karen's husband, I'm pausing a podcast episode to write in to give another testimony for the Blackout Test Premium. This most recent episode of the pregame 172 got me in tears laughing for like 20 minutes. To the folks hearing this, if you can swing it, please go premium and get your life to Rod and Justin telling hilarious stories. And the pregame is just one of many shows that are great. Thanks, y'all. Goes back to the pregame and balls deep and spoiled movie review for Creed 2. Uncle Bob. Yeah, we stay working.
Now don't we, though?
And yeah, the pregame was fun this week. We just be talking, man. We talked about falling and this weird cucko type story. It was a lot. There's a lot of stuff in the episodes, and definitely worth listening. Hopefully people that got to hear Justin will want to go premium because you can hear him every week.
Mm-hmm.
Logistics questions. This is the last email. This is from Miss CT. Hello, Rod and Karen. Hope you're doing well. This might be my third email of the week, but I'm procrastinating writing the paper and have a few questions on my mind. Number one, the official weapon of the show, the taser. Why is that? I'm sure I could make an assumption, but I thought it'd be better just to ask. Oh yeah, we just picked the taser because we were tired of black people getting shot by the cops and killed.
Right, we was like, it's better than them hot bullets. Yeah. I'll take a taser any day.
I'm like, I'd rather you fucking tase black people and let us live than kill us with bullets.
That's why the official weapon is the taser.
Yeah. Two, is the TBGWT archives a link that you don't plan on updating? I always go to the website to listen to an old episode, but I like the link. You all are professionals, just wondering if it's most time consuming or something to keep the archive current. Yo, it's so time consuming and tedious.
Yeah.
What I've done in the past is, there used to be a listener, I don't know if she still listens, Rachel. She would listen to, it was like so ridiculous and unprofessional. I'm sorry, guys. But she would listen to the archived episodes and be like, all right, I'm on the archive feed. I'm up to episode blank. And I'd be like, okay, let me go on there and quickly throw in 20, 30 more. Mm-hmm. She would listen to those over the course of a couple of weeks. And then she'd come back, right, all right, I'm at the thing. Hit me up. I'm going to put some more episodes out. And I'll be like, I mean, can you put some more out? And I used to do that. And that was basically my way of like catching it up. And I don't know if she stopped listening or she didn't go premium anymore. She just didn't give a fuck. I don't know. But then I was just like, she's let go and I stopped doing it. And that's really my fault.
We need to get back in a habit of that too. Eventually, the goal is to get them all up there.
Right.
But yeah, it's a process, y'all.
Number three, Karen, I'm all about letting my husband do all the technical stuff in the house, whether it's figuring out how to get my iPad to work or figuring out how to get the latest movies on Amazon Fire Stick. I believe you are the same way when it comes to podcasting, and you like to come in and be the entertainment on the show and do a great job of it. But do you ever get on the technical side of podcasting, specifically with Lip Smack and Good episodes, what segments you want to do in what order, or do you let Rod take the lead either way you write?
For me, I just don't have time. I work a full-time job, so I don't have time to actually learn. That's more of what it is with that piece. I just don't have the time.
That's part of it, but also you don't want to do it. I mean, because let's not make it about the podcast. It's simple stuff like her tablet, you know. Last night the cable box was frozen in the bedroom, and she reset it, and then it didn't work, and then she immediately got me in there, and I just turned the Xbox One on and off, and then it started working. Like, she don't want to do that stuff. Now, that being said, I don't mind doing it. Like, if she don't want to do it, I don't want to make any extra work for her. I actually prefer, not just for her, but for all our guests, to come in and just be themselves and have fun. That's why, to me, that's why the show is so good. That's why nobody else's shit sounds like our shit, because, you know, I don't mind carrying the research / setup / technical aspects of the show if it means that Karen can come in and just like say what she wants to say, be funny however she wants to be funny, make jokes, contribute however she wants to contribute, and that makes the show feel more spontaneous. Mm-hmm. And same thing with Justin, same thing with our guest on Skype, like all that stuff. We don't really plan out a lot of segments and all that stuff. So that's kind of, I know you were asking Karen, but that's kind of question. And with Lip Smacking Good, I don't take the lead on Lip Smacking Good. Mm-hmm. But we are still a partnership and a team, and with Lip Smacking Good, the latest way we kind of revamped it, you know, I was thinking of ideas a long time ago about right. like what we could do for her show, and I just was like, it's her show, I'm not gonna really step into her realm and try to like change anything, but we still are a partnership. So it was like, let me at least run these ideas by her. And it turned out she loved the ideas. Like, it wasn't just a let's make your show different. It was like, what do you think if we did this and this on the show, and then we also might be able to put out episodes more often. And we have put out more episodes more often, and we still have more in the tank, but we've actually put episodes out more often, and it's partially because of the new format and getting involved and all that stuff.
Right. And it's more of a back and forth. And also, I think with me, and I know with other people, and I'm not as bad as I used to be as far as going to Roderick for technical stuff. I will actually now try to figure out more things on my own. But I remember listening to the pregame, you and Justin was talking about it, about why a lot of women have a tendency to go to men and ask them for help for technical stuff. And you brought up a good point, and I didn't really think about it till you said it. You was like, because women are not allowed to fail. Like, women, right. women are not allowed to, everything a woman touch, you gotta be perfect with your kids. Everything gotta be perfect. You ain't allowed, because the thing is, men are probably gonna do the same thing you're gonna do. Google it, bump it around. Like, you'd be like, why are you so, how can you do this thing and it be second nature? Because I had to learn, I had to fuck it up, I had to do these things. But women aren't allowed to actually fuck up. Society has taught women that if you fuck up, you are blamed, and this goes on your record for the fucking rest of your life. When men are allowed to fuck up, screw up, revamp, restart over again, and it's like women have to constantly go lockstep. So I'm actually a lot better than I used to be. It's some things now that I can actually do on my own, and it might sound like small victories, but it's small things that, and I know Roger don't think twice about it. I'd be like, oh, baby, I figured this out on my own. And he'd be like, good, you know, because now I got a knowledge now that's mine, you know. And I think that for me, I'm trying to break that. But, you know, it's some things, I do it once or twice. Once I've gone through my toolkit, I'm like, fuck it, I don't know what to do no more.
Yeah, well, you know, the thing is, one, I am always proud of you when you do it yourself. But mostly, it doesn't matter what I think. It matters what you think in those situations, because you're teaching yourself you can do something and be self-reliant. That is the part that stick. It's just, like, it doesn't, I don't, not that I don't care, but it's better for you to do it yourself. You know, it's like, you know, I cook now a lot, but I don't walk around like, I love when you love to eat it, and I love when you finish your plate and it's all like, you know, it means that I did a good job and you liked all of it and you know, and all that stuff. I love that. But at the same time, I don't need you to like every day come in and be like, you know, let me show you how to do this in the kitchen or whatever. And I will ask you questions sometimes because I don't know. And I try my, but I think as a boy child, I was kind of taught to be more explorative.
Right.
And if I fucked up, that was going to be all right. It wasn't the end of the world.
Right.
If I had the wrong answer, that's okay. People have the wrong answer. Now go figure out the right one. And I think, and that's the lesson as well. The wrong answer is also a lesson. And I think women don't get that much. It's very much like, well, you're gonna fuck up, you know? It's like, yes, you are gonna fuck up. That's what it is. And I'm, you know, to me, I'm like trying to teach you to use the, use the resources, because that's all I'm doing. I'm trying to show you there's no magic trick. I'm not a Superman. I'm not the smartest person in the world. I don't know anything more than you do. I just start doing shit because it's like almost everything that has been done before.
Correct.
And so I'm going to always find some type of way to make it work. So I'm trying to convince you, like, well, did you try resetting your tablet? Right? Because, okay, you reset it and it may fix the issue. Okay, if it doesn't fix the issue, let's find out the next step. Let's try another solution. I Google a lot of this stuff. When we have computer issues and shit, I'm Googling like, well, what the fuck does this mean? And someone almost always has experienced it before, and I can figure out with enough research and reading, like, okay, this is the solution. So that's all.
True. So like I said, I'm a lot better than I used to be. Sometimes I'm just like, and a lot of times I'll just say, I know it might sound like I'm using it, just simpler, but like, here, you fix it.
Yeah, it is simpler. But the other reason I wanted you to do it yourself is so you can see what the work is.
Right. And
because that's one of the reasons, like, I hear people talk about cooking for male children. And a lot of times people go, well, they're just going to get old and have a wife do it anyway, so they don't really need to learn how to cook. Or I'll teach my boy to cook so he don't need no woman, you know, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But here's why you should teach your son, your male child, male presenting child, whatever, the person that you think is going to have some female person do all this work for him. The reason you should teach them to cook is a simple one to me. So they can know the actual worth of the work that goes into it, the value and the sweat, so that even if they have someone cook for them, there's an appreciation there for the amount of work that it was to make the thing. It didn't just naturally appear. Well, vice versa with the tech stuff, I want you to appreciate the work that it is.
Right.
Like when you ask me to solve a problem, it's not always a 1 second solution. Sometimes I'm in here for 20, 30, 40, 50 minutes trying to figure it out. If you sat down and did it with me or did it yourself, you would be like, oh, so when I say, defrag my hard drive or some shit, it's not as simple as the next day I walk into my computer's working.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it's just a matter of us valuing each other's time and stuff. And mm-hmm. You know, my preference is to just do those things for you anyway when I can, just because it's like I said, it's easier and I don't want to add any burden to your day or your household or whatever. But at the same time, like, the appreciation for the effort has to be there. And you always, for the record, make me feel appreciated for putting in the effort. So it's not like I ever have been like, damn, she put her tablet in water and she didn't realize I had to like do surgery to get that shit to work again. No. Like I've never felt like that, but just in general, I think the value of the work is what people should be learning about.
All right. And but like this, I might not know everything that goes behind it, but I do respect it because, like I said, a lot of times I might not know what you're doing, but I'll actually sometimes sit and actually watch you go through the steps. And I'll be like, oh, this shit ain't this. Cause I'll say something and then you'll be like, well, baby, like that, it ain't, it's cut and dry. Like there's a lot more steps behind this and we get to doing it. And I'll be like, well, shit, I ain't know it's gonna take this much time.
Yeah. Well, me and like you and Justin sometimes will come up with these ideas of stuff to do for the show. And to y'all it's just as simple as like, why not do this?
Right.
And then I have to be like, okay, we can do this, but I need you to understand this is not a flip of a switch, so that if I do this, there has to be some appreciation for the difficulty of this, because it's like you can't, like Justin would be like, we should just do a show like this, and I'm like, and it was funny because he used to have like an idea every week and I'd be like, I don't mind doing that, are you gonna do this shit every week?
Right.
This can't be a thing you do twice and then be like, I don't feel like it. It's a lot of work. That's my point, is it's a lot of work.
Right.
Like, and I'm the one doing most of it. So, you know, when it came to Real House Husbands, a lot of people didn't know how much work that was.
Yeah,
they just thought
a lot of chopping.
They just thought I was like, oh, the show's 10 minutes long. Like, the show's 10 minutes long, the work is a couple hours.
Right.
Every episode, you know? And I'm in here fucking, and I have to do these other shows and stuff too. It was a lot of work. So when we stopped it, you know, some people are like, oh man, y'all stopped it. But I'm also like, we stopped it before it got stale. We were running out of ideas anyway.
Right.
It was eventually going to just be a thing we were doing that got so ridiculous it wasn't even really funny anymore to me. And also, it was a lot of work. So anyway, that's why I think, and that's why I think List Making Good will be even better and more fun with me involved, because I can do the tech stuff right then.
Right.
You know, we can get the segments out of the way right then and put it together and figure it out how it's gonna come together. And you know, Karen's a great partner to work with, and I would never do anything that I didn't feel was gonna make the show fun and more better, and vice versa.
Yes.
Number four, listening to an old episode, you claim that Popeyes is better than every other chicken spot. Now see, that's how I know you a goddamn lie. You ain't listening to every episode. You ain't listening to old episodes. We didn't get Popeyes down here for 2 or 3 years, and we both said the first time we tried it, it was trash.
It was not good.
I was like, are y'all serious? Is this the one? Now what we may have said is that the consensus on social media is that Popeyes is the best, but we didn't try until a couple years ago. And a couple years ago, the first 2 or 3 times we went, it was like, this ain't good. Cajun spark on my ass. These biscuits is dry. The chicken was just alright to me. Like, I don't know. The size is just okay. And to this day, I still think Bojangles over Popeyes. I don't care what y'all say. I will go Bojangles over Popeyes 10 times out of 10. Yeah. And never feel
like
bad.
I said, it just might actually be the location that, cause we don't have them everywhere.
Right.
But the one near us, it is never good.
I can't say never. I had some in the last year twice that was good.
Okay.
You weren't with me. One time I went, I went to Bed Bath & Beyond, and then I was like, I want to try some damn Popeyes. And they was giving it away. You know, Popeyes be having them weird, like, get 7 pieces of chicken for $3, honey.
Love that chicken at Popeyes.
And my Louisiana shrimp crabs, you know, whatever.
Yeah, and everybody was like, well, it's the best in Louisiana. Well, I've never been to Louisiana, so I don't know.
Yeah, so it was good, you know, it was good. I had Publix fried chicken for the first time this year.
Publix chicken
that
was
shit was
real
good. Now, I gotta admit, though, I had some the other day, and I don't know, I should have got it when it was hot and now, y'all, because the cold, it wasn't good. It wasn't good out there, been sitting in that box for a minute. I was very disappointed on this batch. But the first batch I got,
I know, I'll be like, can I come up here and just order a 10 piece and let you fry it while I walk around the store?
That first batch, child. And
yeah, we must have got that fresh. It was really good.
It spoke to me. Anyway,
and they got breaded too.
I'm not sure how you came to that conclusion, but that's none of my business. You still feel that way? I never felt that way, so I don't know how you came to the conclusion that we felt that way. Like, I know niggas on Twitter say it's the best, and maybe that's what we were saying. It's like, it's the best because y'all say it is, but your boy ain't agreeing. Hope you both have a good day and look forward to listening to the next episode. Thank you, Miss CT. Thank you for going and listening to the archives. I will try to go ahead and update some of those old episodes on the RSS feed. Mm-hmm. All right, guys, that's it for today. This is a long feedback episode. I don't know if I'm doing a show tomorrow. Maybe. We'll see.
Depends on how we feel.
Yeah, y'all. I don't think we have any advertisers tomorrow, so we might be able to just take the day off and chill. Although, I actually still need to do a couple movie reviews. I've been watching these art house flicks and shit. So, I will get at least a sport movie review up tomorrow for premium people, but we might take tomorrow off. All right, guys. We'll talk to y'all then. Until next time, I love you.
I love you, too. Mwah.